across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you. Talk Radio.
Evening, dear listener. Ian Lee, a little bit more frantic than per usual today. I've been a bit busy with my guest. We've been recording something for his podcast, and the proviso was he has to stick around to do something for my show. Mr. Adam Buxton will be in the studio in just a little bit. He's coming in with waters aplenty. If you want to talk to him or me, 0844 499 1000. Don't forget, guys, we call you back. And let's have some news. Here we go.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
Unfiltered night talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a man so fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo, but somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death-defying life I lead. I take my chances. I die for living in the movies and TV. But the hardest thing I ever do is watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging my knee. I might fall from a tall building. I might roll a brand new car. 'Cause I'm the unknown stuntman that made Redford such a star. I've never spent much time in school, but I taught ladies plenty. It's true, I hire my body out for pay. Hey, hey! I've gotten burned over Cheryl Teagues, blown up for Rocky Welch. But when I wind up in the hay, it's only hay. Hey, hey! I might jump an open drawbridge or Tarzan from a vine, 'cause I'm the unknown star. Makes Eastwood look so fine.
I'm typing. I've typed. Good evening, dear listener. Oh, why can't I hear anything? Oh, that's why, because I'm not plugged in. Good evening, dear listener. Ian Lee, Talk Radio. Hang on, I'm just plugging that in. There we go. Now I can hear. I see. And it sounds, doesn't it sound funny? Close that microphone for a second. Now, it still sounds funny. There's only so much I can swivel it. There we go. Is that better? Oh, now turn this microphone on.
Yeah.
I was speaking into the back of the microphone.
Never speak into the back of the microphone.
The arse of the microphone was being cradled by my voice.
The original king of unconventional talk. Ian Lee's technique is to speak into the wrong end of the microphone.
It's Adam Buxton is here. Good evening, Adam.
Hey.
Can I... Now, we've just recorded your podcast.
Ooh. Yes.
I don't really listen to podcasts. I listen to Radio 4 a lot.
Sure.
And, I mean, I listen to talk radio all the time, so I don't have time for podcasts.
Fair enough.
But I've just started listening to your podcast, because I knew that I was going to record something.
Yeah. And you're a professional. You thought, I better find out what I'm dealing with here.
Well, I do. I do like to check out the stuff that I'm going to work on.
Yeah.
Because I've done shows where someone's turned up, like TV shows, and someone said, so what is this then? You've not watched it. You've not watched even like 5 minutes or Googled it to find out.
They might be the best guests because they don't care.
Well, in the case of Evander Holyfield, when he was on the Celebrity Big Brother house.
Holyfield.
He was... he thought that Big Brother was like a mentorship program where he would be like a big brother to a young guy who was struggling, and he'd teach him boxing techniques so he could go out and beat people up. But your podcast is genuinely brilliant.
Thanks, man. That's nice of you.
And you do it all yourself?
I do. Well, no, I've got helpers now.
Oh.
I did the first sort of 12 entirely on my own. And now I have a guy, Matt Lamont, who helps me edit the podcast.
Hi, Matt.
The conversations. And Seamus Murphy Mitchell.
Okay.
Who...
I'm not going to say hi to him. I'm...
Oh, he's actually really nice. You should say hi.
I'm not going to.
He likes you. I said that I was going to do a podcast with you, and he got excited. That
puts me in an awkward position, but I'm going to stand by my initial. And we've just spoken for 2 hours in a studio,
yeah,
in a small room, and it was all going so well.
Mm-hmm.
And then we came up here. You've started eating a smelly food.
Oh, I was going to ask you if it was okay.
I started eating a smelly food.
I forgot to ask you.
What is that about?
I know, that's no good, is it?
It's a stink. It's one of the stinkiest foods.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It's fine.
I'm eating, for the listeners, I've got out from
his
between
Jaffers.
My thighs a large gorgonzola. No, it is an orange. And you're right.
It's ripe.
To me,
yes,
it's lovely and delicious and smells of success. But to many people, it's a very depressing and invasive odour, isn't it?
It reminds me of awkward girls in primary school.
Awkward girls in primary school. Peeling oranges uninvited.
And that song, of course, it reminds me, of course. But I don't mind. It's nice. It's very nice to see you. Was the last time we saw each other? Was it The Persuasionist? I don't think we've seen each other.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, obviously, after The Persuasionist, the legendary sitcom, of course,
really took
things
off.
Got pretty crazy for both of us.
Yeah. Well, you went to Hollywood. I went to Bollywood.
And the whirlwind has only just begun to die down.
Starting
for me.
To settle.
Yeah.
But I'm sure the nostalgia as we approach its seventh anniversary.
Sure. Well, we were saying on the podcast that we should have a reunion with all the original cast members and crew. And
do a DVD director's commentary.
Do a commentary. If you go on Amazon and you type in The Persuasionist, I don't know if this is still the case, but there was a period where a DVD would show up with artwork.
It was going to happen. It was going to happen.
And it said not currently available or
Here's
something.
Here's the thing I didn't mention when we were recording the podcast. I mean, the podcast you can get on iTunes and Podbean and Acast and all of those places, can't you?
I know it's on Acast and iTunes, definitely. I think it's on Spotify.
I think
it
pops up in all these places, and it's well worth a listen. Tristram Shapiro was the director.
Yeah.
He went off to, he went and directed Community and stuff.
Did he?
Yes, he did. He went to America. I remember him saying at the time he was going to America. I was like, yeah, all right, mate, see you in 6 months. And he ended up directing, I used to love Community, and I watched an episode of that, and his name popped up, and I was like, flipping heck, why didn't he offer me a job in that?
Yeah.
Do you ever get that when you see someone, we didn't mention this in the podcast, but a lot of my career has been spent watching, you know, people, my peers, go off to earn millions of pounds and make movies and stuff like that. And do you never think,
thoughts like
that, to be in that
never cross my mind.
No.
I'm very, very well adjusted on that level.
Well, that's good.
Because I know a great number of people who've been involved with movies and those kinds of projects, and I never covet a role.
So I can hear heavy breathing in the background. Is that you, Alan?
Hi, Ian. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Alan.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, man.
First of all, love The Fall Guy. Can I watch the classic episode of it on my telly?
The Fall Guy? What was the theme tune?
The Unknown Stuntman.
The Unknown Stuntman.
We have just played it. Adam wouldn't have heard it because we had the sound in the studio down, but we did just play...
Oh, that was the theme.
That was the song, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Right, because you didn't back outro it.
I'm a maverick.
Back anno,
I don't play by radio's rules.
Oh, yeah.
Talk in the back of the microphone and don't mention what the song was, what I just played. Isn't that right, Alan?
Yeah, that's very true, Ian.
Thank you very much. Have you got a question for Adam?
Yes, in 2012, 2013, you worked on Six Music with the lovely Edith Bowman, who Ian has worked with as well.
Yeah.
What was she like?
What was she like? She was exactly like a female human. She's lovely, and I'd met her before at festivals. She's just a very approachable, charming young woman. Occasionally, she would slightly take the mick out of me in ways that I didn't expect.
Oh, sexual ways?
No.
Romantic ways?
No.
Progressive ways?
Well, it's a kind of a...
Whale ways?
Yes.
Yes, we got there.
Whale ways.
Whale ways.
She worked for British Whale. What?
Does that answer your question, Alan?
Yes, it does. And also, I've just seen an amazing TV programme before tuning in to you, Ian.
Oh, yeah. What was that, mate?
The new series of Peaky Blinders.
Are you a fan of that show, Alan?
Yeah, I am.
It's very violent, isn't it?
Well,
Alan's a very violent man.
Is he?
Yes.
Well, I am from Birmingham.
I'm going to be in Birmingham this weekend. I'm doing a show at...
Oh, are you? Whereabouts?
At the Town Hall in Birmingham.
Wow.
I've actually performed there.
Well, have you?
Let him, Alan, on YouTube performing at the Town Hall.
Alan, let him finish his plug.
Oh, no, that's okay. It wasn't really a proper plug. I was just, you know, talking about Birmingham.
And you, what did you perform, Alan? What, if I were to look for you on YouTube to see you performing, what would I have to type in?
Type in Alan Caddick Star Trek in.
And what did you perform?
I performed Star Trekking dressed up as Scotty.
Okay. Oh, well, unfortunately, the computer seems to...
What was the event, Alan?
It was Birmingham's Best Talent.
Oh, good one. How did you do? Did the crowd like you?
Well, the crowd was cheering me, but I wasn't actually one of the actual performers who entered in the competition. I was like a guest performer.
Let's find out how well Alan went down.
Have you found it?
I've found it. The Wi-Fi's a little bit slow this evening because it's being used up by all your... Here we go.
That's the wrong video.
What do you mean it's the wrong... How,
it's not the one with me dressed in a suit. It's the one with me dressed in a red shirt.
Sounds good.
That's
like Captain Beefheart doing Star Trekking. I love it.
Yeah. Well, I'm well known for it on the karaoke.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that, Alan.
Thank you.
Ta-ta.
Cheers, Alan. Nice to meet you.
Ed's on the line. Hello, Ed.
Oh, good evening, both. I've just got a question for Adam. I was really pleased to
get... It's like Swap Shop, isn't it? It's like Swap Shop. We've got a question. We've got a question for Adam.
I know, it's great. This is exciting. Fun, yeah. I feel like a member of Five Star who's just about to be...
Don't.
Sworn
oh,
at.
Do you remember that?
Carry on.
So, I finally got to see one of your book shows in March, and I was just, over the last couple of days, really enjoying the Radiohead video, and I wondered if you'd had a chance to see it and what you thought of it.
Oh, yeah, I think it's fantastic. It came out of the blue. I didn't know that they were going to do proper
videos. You're a
big
Radiohead fan. Are you friends with Radiohead?
I'm friends with members of Radiohead, yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
And I had heard the album, actually, because one of them was staying with me over Easter, and he played me the whole record, and it sounds really good.
Gosh.
So I was very excited about that, but I didn't know what they were doing as far as videos. We didn't talk about that. So it was a total surprise to see this.
I've not seen the video. What is it?
Well, it's a version, it's like a kind of spoof of Camberwick Green or Trumpton.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's filmed in that style those sort of little, you know, that stop motion style with those kinds of models.
Yeah.
But it's a little miniature version of The Wicker Man.
Oh, wow.
So if you fuse Camberwick Green with The Wicker Man, it's sort of brilliant. I think it's probably dealing with, you know, issues of immigration and Islamophobia kind of thing.
Rightfully so.
The track is great. And Burn the Witch, it's called. Well worth checking out. And I hear that they're also going to do other little bits and pieces of video to accompany some of the other tracks on the album as well. So I'm excited about that.
Does that answer your question, Ed?
Yeah, thank you very much indeed. Cheers,
Ed. Nice to talk to you.
We get nice people calling the show, generally. 08444991000. I'll tell you what, we're going to have a little break. You tuck into more of your stinky food.
Do you want some orange?
Now he offers me some.
Late night conversation. Wealth losing sleep over it. Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I've not been... Adam Buxton's here. I've not been to Toronto. I've been to Montreal, where I had a tiny part in a film with Angelina Jolie.
Whoa.
Yeah. A terrible film.
Which one?
It was Beyond Borders.
Beyond Borders.
Beyond Borders.
About what happens to bookshops when they close.
When there's an infestation of foils. it's about when people go into to bookshops, see the book they like, then go on Amazon and go, we'll order it from there. We'll get it sent.
What's at the very back of Borders? And did you actually have scenes with Angelina?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, not talking with her.
Right. But you were in the same
physical
space.
The camera would pan around, and she came up to me afterwards, and I was talking to one of the extras, an old lady, and I could see Angelina Jolie waiting to talk to me. And I was thinking, oh, will you shut up, old woman?
Yeah.
And then Angelina Jolie turned around, she gave me a kiss on the cheek and said, I just want to say I think you're doing a great job. I think you're very, very funny.
Is this real?
This is real!
It's not in your fantasy world.
No, it actually happened. And Terry Polo was in it as well. Do you remember Terry Polo?
No.
Yeah, well...
Who's Terry Polo?
She was She was in a film with...
Julie Sandbox.
That's... Here we go. Look, this is... Can you see it?
Terry Polo.
Terry Polo was someone... There's Clive Owen. I wasn't in a bit with him. Right. There's Terry Polo. Right.
I can't see that far away.
Come on, man. I don't need to say
either.
So you're Adam's here for another 10 minutes. If you want to talk to him, 08444991000. If you don't, well, screw you. I'm going to talk to him. Are you doing live shows? I know you're not really here to plug anything. You're here because you're doing the podcast, and we'll mention that again. But you do your live shows, don't you? Is bug your live thing, or do you do other
things?
I do.
In fact, in Birmingham, I'm going to be doing my own bits and stuff.
What does that mean?
So everything I do live generally is a form of a presentation from my laptop, and I show little clips of video, and then I interact with this and that. I read out YouTube comments that I found about various things. And one woman I remember at a gig in Bristol very indignantly at a certain point stood up and said, "Boring!" And I ignored her because I'm such a pro, and I soldiered on. But then she said very loudly again, "Boring!"
Wow.
And so I had to deal with it because the audience was saying, like, shut up. And the atmosphere was turning weird. So I said, "Sorry, what you're saying is boring. What? How do you mean it's boring?
How do you mean it's boring? There's a question.
I mean, I wasn't scandalized by the idea that she could think I was boring, but I was curious to know what about it she thought was boring specifically. And she said, "Well, it's just a presentation, isn't it?"
Oh.
I was like, "Yeah, but what kind of criticism is that?"
Would she do that at work, do you think?
I think this is the thing, was that she was associating, because I was using my computer, she thought, "Well, I can get this at work."
Yeah.
But I don't think she gets such sparklingly original and funny stuff.
Well, you mentioned references to bumming in some of your shows.
Sometimes I read out crazy YouTube comments that may contain references to bumming.
How did that situation end?
It ended, I'll tell you exactly how it ended, with her, because the atmosphere was turning bad. The show had already been delayed by about an hour. I double booked myself.
Oh, mate.
I had a show in London, a bug show in London.
Yeah.
And then I had a show of my own stuff at the Bristol Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
And I double booked myself.
On the same day?
On the same day.
London and Bristol?
Yeah, like a total jerk, right?
Yeah.
And luckily the promoters were kind enough to accommodate the situation, and a motorcycle was booked. The performance of
the
bug show was brought forward, and the performance of the comedy show in Bristol was pushed back, and they booked a motorcycle to take me from London to Bristol.
Yeah,
I got most of the way there, and then sections of the motorway were closed off. And
I've been on those motorcycle cabs. Those guys are they're ex-police officers, most of them, and
exactly.
They're crazy.
Well, mine was an ex-security guard.
There you go.
He was very nice, but it was terrifying and thrilling at the same time. I could barely walk when I got off the thing, though. My body was vibrating and all tensed up. I get on stage about an hour after I was billed. The audience, by that time, it was about midnight, so they were pretty hammered and probably justifiably irritated by having to wait. But they were really nice, good atmosphere. But then suddenly this lady starts heckling.
Boring.
Boring. And the audience turns on her.
Oh, God.
And it started to get quite ugly and combative. So I had to say, hey, whoa, come on, let's all be friends. And I said, "Why don't we just have a hug?" And before I'd said anything else, she was up on her feet, running towards the stage, clambered up onto this quite high stage, ran over to me, jumped at me, and wrapped her legs around my waist.
Wow.
She was inebriated.
You didn't enter her or anything, did you?
We had full sexual intercourse.
Wow, that's
and
cool.
Now I live with her. And I love her, and we've had a child, and that's
beautiful. Well, see, these things, it turns out hecklers can make the show.
Yeah, it works. It worked out well. No, that last part wasn't true. It was actually alarming.
Yeah.
I mean, she was not a serious physical threat.
No.
But it was pretty shocking to suddenly...
Yeah, that's frightening. And that's an invasion. When you're on the stage, that's someone to invade that space, that sacred space. That's a weird thing.
It was
for
weird.
For comedy. Bands, not so much, but for comedy.
Yeah, yeah. It was a strange night.
I saw a brilliant clip, Simon and Garfunkel, live in Central Park. It's 1981. I think John Lennon was shot in 1980. So it's about 6 months after John Lennon was shot, about half a mile from where he was shot. It's a brilliant clip. And he's singing a song. Paul Simon's singing a song about John Lennon being shot.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, a guy rushes onto the stage and tries to grab him and says, "I've got to talk to you, Paul! I've got to talk to you!" And then he gets pulled off by security. That's a terrifying... That's a weird thing.
And how did Paul Simon deal with it? Does he sort of back off? And
he backs off and he has a look of sheer terror on his face.
Sure.
You know, the pop stars were targets then. Sheer terror of his face, and he doesn't miss a beat and he goes back into the song. It's a remarkable thing. I don't remind you slightly because of your thing. Do you enjoy doing stand-up? Because you... doing these gigs.
Yeah.
Take back stand-up. Because you came... The Adam and Joe show, that came from you and Joe just messing around with video cameras, didn't it?
Yeah, we were absolutely not live performers. And we always felt totally outside the whole world of stand-ups and comedy in general, really. We always just thought of ourselves as nerds. We were like YouTubers before YouTube, you know.
Yes, I suppose you were, weren't you? You were the Zoella of your day.
We were like Zoella with stuffed toys. Yeah, exactly.
And so do you feel comfortable now doing...
Yes, I do. I really like it now because, well, you and I were talking in the podcast we just recorded about finding your voice.
Yes.
And realizing what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are, etc., and getting yourself into a position where you can do what you like doing and what you're good at doing.
Yeah.
And I do feel like... I've got better at doing these boring presentations, and I really enjoy doing them. And
it's a good because I was telling you I did this live tour, and it was me with a laptop, and it was kind of talking. And I'd say, "But here, have a look at this," I think it's a really nice little format, and it's a great way of taking around what is quite a big show. But carrying it around in your bag, isn't it? It's all portable.
Well, someone described it to me the other day after... I'm currently doing, in various towns, this Bowie special.
Okay.
Where we show a lot of his music videos, and it's the usual bug sort of thing, but all Bowie-based.
Yeah.
And someone described it afterwards to me as like a live documentary. And it is sort of like that. It's like a interactive... Well, it's not interactive, I suppose, because it's...
It's still passive.
Follows a set pattern. But I'm providing a live element to it. So, yeah, there's a performance element, but it is very much documentary style in places.
You were a big fan of Bowie, weren't you?
Yeah, I was very sad when he died, yeah. I was one of those people who were told to man up by Camilla Long.
It's weird that, and I used to be one of those people that would go, "Well, what's everyone crying about Whitney Houston for, or Michael Jackson? Get over it." And then Davy Jones of the Monkees died, and as you know, I'm a huge Monkees fan.
Sure, we've both lost Davy Joneses.
Haven't we? Yeah. And of course he changed his name to Bowie because of Jones. And I was devastated. I was in bits. And I realised... I was in floods of tears, and I was crying partly because Davy Jones had gone, but also what he symbolised in my life. You know, he kind of represented elements of my childhood.
Yeah.
He represented the fact that I didn't get on my dad particularly well at the time. It was so many different facets that I was mourning when he passed, and so now I totally get why people, you know, get upset when someone they've never met before dies.
I know, it was a very strange thing for me too, because I certainly was one of those people, and I did a couple of podcasts in fact.
Yeah.
Had to be two to accommodate
the grief,
the very tip of the iceberg for me and Bowie. But I talk about the fact that when Princess Diana was murdered, whatever you want to call it, sadly taken away from us, I was one of those people who was quite overwhelmed and resistant to the outpouring of grief from people, and thought that it was a bit crazy and a bit of a drag. And actually, my dad felt that too at the time.
Yeah.
And he articulated it at the time for our show on the Adam and Joe show. We did a thing with him reviewing Candle in the Wind. the Elton John thing, which he didn't enjoy. And, you know, I just thought, this is stupid. It's nuts. Yeah. People are just looking for an excuse to go all over emotional. But then when Bowie popped his clogs, I understood it completely.
Mm.
It was... I do think it was slightly different. And I certainly... You know, for me, I was quite an obsessive with Bowie, and he was really a big part of
how
my
obsessive
life.
Are you, like bootlegs? And had you ever met him?
No, I was in close proximity. I was within striking distance a couple of times. Once at the me and Joe were at Glastonbury in 2000 when he performed there,
yeah.
And we heard afterwards that he was debating whether he should appear on a TV and do a TV interview. It was between, it came down to us or Joe Wiley, me and Joe or Joe Wiley.
Wow.
In the end, he didn't do either. Got on the Bowie bus and buggered off.
It's just so like him, isn't it? So unpredictable.
But a few years after that, he did a performance for Radio 2, I think, with Jonathan Ross introducing him. And Jonathan invited me and Joe along to see him do that at Maida Vale.
Yeah. Wow.
And we were right in the flight path for shaking hands with David, and then Ricky Gervais sideswiped us. And Bowie was actually an early adopter of Gervais's stuff, was one of the first people to trumpet the genius of The Office.
Yes.
And they became pals. And I think maybe that was even the first time that they'd met.
Yeah.
So anyway... It meant that didn't say
it's been a weird... Hasn't it been a weird year? I know it's a cliche to say, but it's been a weird... The one that got me... And I'll be honest, all the people that have died this year, they haven't meant that much to me, personally. Paul Daniels did, actually. I was a big fan of Daniels. But none of them... I've respected the gravitas, but none of them have really kind of touched me. But the one that got me, the one that made me shudder, and this will sound weird, was David Guest.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was just suddenly, it's like... Jesus, this year is so random and is so insane. You know, and I'd met Guest once and he was very, very pleasant. I have no connection with him. But there was just something so odd. David Guest is dead. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, it's as if there's some strange heavenly celebrity sniper who's just randomly picking them off.
Part of me does think maybe there's something's going on.
Alien sniper, maybe.
An alien sniper. You can go home now. Your work here is done.
Oh, mate.
The podcast... Yeah, it's just called the Adam Buxton Podcast.
It is, imaginatively.
But it's like it's brilliant. I've downloaded them all on my telephone.
Well, the good thing about podcasts as a medium is that you can kind of go and you find the body of work, as it were.
Yes.
And you can make your own way through it and you can think, oh, that one looks boring.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do that one. And you can think, oh, yeah, I quite like him or I quite like her. Yeah. I'll give that a go. And if you get on well with that, then you can drill down into the rest of it.
Into some of the more obscure albums that were released.
Yes, and you often find, as I've done with many podcasts, that some of the ones that you never even considered listening to, where you'd never heard of the person or thought the subject matter was beneath interest, they turn out to be some of the best ones, you know, because you get into the host or you get into the podcast, the tone of the thing.
Yeah.
And then you find the unusual episodes and you really enjoy those.
You're an excellent interviewer.
Thanks, that's nice of you.
No, I don't
think it's true, but...
No, I do. Having listened... I'm not talking about, you know, our conversation. See what magic you sprinkle on that. Having listened to it, it's brilliant because it's very relaxed. There is no agenda. It's nice to hear... I tell you what it is. It's nice to hear two people chatting without an agenda, without someone trying to score points or trip someone up or get them somewhere. It's just a chat.
Yes, it is. And it's... I mean, it depends, like... A lot of the time I talk to my friends. I talk to Joe Cornish or Louis Theroux or my friend Garth Jennings.
Yeah.
And those have a very conversational tone. We're not necessarily talking about their career. We're just talking about any old stuff, you know. Yeah. And then there's other people who I don't know so well. I talked to Kathy Burke.
Did you not know her? Because
I'd met her very briefly a couple of times before then.
That's the first one I listened to, and I thought you were like old buddies or something.
No, I mean, I'd met her and I... knew that I liked her and she said yes when I asked her if we could do the podcast. So I felt comfortable with her, but I certainly didn't feel sufficiently comfortable that I could just talk about anything. And plus, I was interested to talk about her career. She's done so many fascinating things.
She's brilliant. That was a brilliant one.
Yeah, she was really interesting.
I want to get her on this show, but I'm scared to ask her. Well, this is the thing. I'm scared to ask people because I don't want them to feel that they've got to say yes.
Yeah.
And then I don't want the rejection of people saying no.
Man up.
What? are all your live shows, are they on? I'm going to say adambuxton.net.
It's adam-buxton.co.uk. But
Jesus,
if you search,
who
for
are you?
I don't know. If you search for Adam Buxton's blog, it'll come up. Probably.
Okay, and it's got all your live dates. Birmingham at the weekend.
Yeah, Birmingham, doing my own stuff from the last couple of years. It's not new material. And I'm headlining a bill with some pretty great Sam Simmons and Liam Wilson.
I don't know.
William, sorry.
I don't know people. I don't. I'm so out of touch with the
They're
world.
Good. And then I'm doing the Bowie Bug show in Glasgow on Monday.
Yeah.
And anyway, yeah, so the dates are on
hey,
there.
It's nice to see you, man.
Really nice to see you.
Let me know when everyone gets back from the Persuasionists and when we're meeting up, and I'll bring pizza and
Persuasionists
stuff.
Persuasionists movie.
08444991000.
The Wild Man of Late Night Radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me. Down the road, it's where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. Down this road that never seems to end. When new adventure lies just around the bend. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow the whole world is my home. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. Maybe tomorrow, I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. A world that's waiting to unfold. A brand new tale no one has ever told. We've journeyed far, but you know it won't be long. We're almost there and we've paid our fare with a hobo song. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. So if you style. Maybe tomorrow I'll find what I call home. Until tomorrow, you know I'm free to roam.
Well, that was nice, wasn't it? Sorry, I'm just setting up.
He's really nice. Can he come in again?
No.
Oh.
No. Never again. I haven't seen him for years and years and years since we did this sitcom, The Persuasionist, that was, I think slightly unfairly. Torn apart. It wasn't brilliant, but it wasn't as bad as everyone said.
Hey, there've been stinking things that have done better.
Yeah, you know, it was. You know, it wasn't great, but it didn't deserve the more. 08444991000. By the way, if you want to call in, as usual, you can call in. I've had lots of people on Twitter saying, "I want to call in about this. I want to call in about that." Do you want me to call in about? Guys, maybe I'm not explaining the show well enough, right? You can call in about literally anything.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to talk about the elections yet? Is it 10 or 11 we can talk about them?
Oh.
I'll tell you why, because one of the bosses said, you're going to let loose on the elections tonight. Was it 10? What time do they close? Is it 11, I think, isn't it? Or 10? I don't know.
I don't know, because I don't care.
Yeah, well, we may not be able to. You may not legally be able to say that. It's 10, so we can say it, Ed. All right, fine. I couldn't give a stuff about the elections. I didn't. The only election going on where I was for the Police and Crime Commissioner. Mm-hmm. The PCC, Well, having worked in local radio, and yes, I love, I'm a big fan of Ollie Martin's. I wonder how he got on. I also know that they're really it's a pointless thing. And I partly didn't vote in it. I haven't worn deodorant since Friday. I partly didn't vote in it because last year, the first time 4 years ago, they only 12% of the electorate turned out to vote in the PCCs. I'm hoping it's less because they're all going, oh yeah, well it was the election was in August and it was the first one and people don't know about it. You wait, it'll pick up. I bet it's dropped.
You think?
Massively. Who knows who their PCC is? I didn't even get any flyers or leaflets or anything from my local PCCs.
Oh, I did. And I got one, well, from the prospective PCC. She sent me something through. And then she got her mate, the local MP, to send something through as well.
Snooty cow.
The thing is, I'm not a big fan of the local MP either, so it was just like someone I don't like saying to vote for someone that I wasn't sure about. You know, it's not going to sway me, is it? It's going to sway me a certain way and not in their favour. So that's that.
It's a point. So I didn't get to vote in any of the cool ones. Like, I would have voted in the council. I would have voted in the mayoral if I still lived in London, but I don't live in London. The thing about the mayoral candidates, right, they're all slimy little so-and-sos, aren't they? Mm. Goldsmith, you slimy little git. Then Khan, oh, you're even slimier. The only one I liked was the women's equality one. I liked her. I thought she was good. All the others, jog on. I'm not interested in any of that.
So what, it was a decision between being punched in the face or being punched in the gut?
I don't understand the analogy.
Well, neither's nice. What would you prefer?
Oh, a poke in the eye with a sharp stick.
That wasn't on the table.
Slap in the face with a wet fish. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You're more than welcome to. The way it works is we sit here and we talk. You call up, we call you back. And, you know, we're a new station. We're not exactly spoilt for calls. You'll get on pretty quickly, probably. Sometimes we have a bit of a rush and some people have to wait a little bit longer. And you can literally talk about anything. I'd rather not talk about, we can't talk about Brexit, actually. We still can't talk about that. But, the kind of usual boring stuff that you'll get on LBC, the immigrants and Muslims and, but if you want to, we can do it. So stop tweeting me with, do you want me to come on and talk about this?
Yeah.
I'll come on and talk about this if you want. Phone up.
You don't need to, like, announce yourselves, just phone.
You don't need to book your place. You don't need to flag it up ahead. You just call in 0844 499 1000. This is unlike any other phone-in show, right? Literally, you can call in about whatever you want,
mm-hmm.
and we'll dick around and we'll do straighter stuff and serious stuff and whatever. And it's all fine, man. It's all fine. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you give us a call. Id, you've got to stop talking to them. If they're not coming on, get rid of them. And if they are, phone them up. He has a little comment.
He's too nice.
How's your day going? Do you have a good day? How's your mum? Is your mum still with us? Is your mum okay? Just don't
stop being nice to them.
Stop being nice to them,
Id. So are you coming on or what?
For goodness sakes. For goodness sakes. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. Let's have a little break.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
I take my road in the morning. I take my road in the night. I take my road in the afternoon to make sure I get back for bath time.
0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. Gatford's on the line. Yes, Gatford.
Good evening, sir. How are you? And madam.
Hello. Hungry, man. Hungry, hungry, hungry.
Are you?
Well, because Adam came and we recorded his podcast. I didn't know we'd be talking for 2 hours.
No Chinese, I assume.
No Chinese. We had great. So we were talking for 2 hours and then we had great technical difficulty. We didn't have. Couldn't find a studio to do it in. He'd forgotten his little sound box that he would normally use to record. So we had to record it here. And then we couldn't transfer and we talked for 2 hours. So I'm starving.
Yeah,
I'm absolutely Hank B, but I will stop on that. You want to order something, which is torturous because I won't be able to eat it.
What? Domino's?
What?
Domino's?
We had Domino's the other day. Tuesday.
Right, fair enough.
But it doesn't matter because I can't eat. This isn't
what,
the
if
show...
I get something that's got bits so that you can...
Well, no, but this isn't the show where I have literally no time to talk.
I know.
To eat.
Well, what about the adverts and the songs?
Well, we're not really meant to play songs. And
can
the
we
songs
not, like...
Oh, OK.
Can we not, like, whack American Pie on?
No, we can't.
There could be other Chinese in that time.
A Rush album or something?
Why do people keep sending me, weird
abuse?
Things? Yeah.
I'm calling up to talk about something I want to introduce.
Go on.
Should I live in London anymore? I'm currently on the holidays, and I'm not in London.
Hmm.
And I'm sleeping better, and I'm breathing better, and generally feeling better. And I wonder if that's got something to do with the fact that, A, obviously being on holiday is quite nice, but also, I'm not in London at the moment.
Where are you?
On the south coast, in Bournemouth, to be precise.
Bournemouth, very nice, Bournemouth.
Very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Tomorrow, go for a day out in Swanage.
Swanage. I twisted my ankle on Swanage Beach as I was digging a hole in the sand.
Uh-huh.
Twisted my ankle. And also, we found a little fairground. And they had those little cars you sit on, you put 20 pence in and it drives around a little circuit. And we found one, it was 10 pence back in those days, we found one,
uh-huh.
And we put 10 pence in, didn't stop, wouldn't stop, kept going. In the end we got bored and we gave it to another kid. And Swanage was also the place where my mum told me my middle name was Gaylord. So mixed memories of Swanage.
Do you want me to find the place on the beach and sort of plant something in the sand?
No, be very, very careful. No. I don't trust the Swanage beach. It's nice Swanage, I like Swanage.
Yeah.
I like Swanage a lot.
I'm just wondering... I don't know, am I getting bored of living in London?
Yeah, how old are you?
But you know what I mean, like, I don't know, just like, I feel much better down here.
Yeah, get out of London, London's horrible. Here. How old are you? What are you, 40?
41, yeah.
Yeah, get out. It's perfect time to get out of London. What do you work in London?
I do, but I could travel in, it's not, you know.
What, from Swanage?
Well, not from Swanage, obviously.
Move
I'm
to Swanage?
There, I don't live in Swanage.
Move to Swanage, what, from Bournemouth? You'd commute from Bournemouth to London?
It happens. I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. I'd probably live in something like Kent because I'm on that side.
Get out of London. Do you own or rent?
Rent. So I can't.
We cashed that. We were owning. We cashed in our chips. We went. We moved out and bought big.
Mm.
Sold small, bought big. That's what we did. And get out of London. I moved out of London 3 years ago. Best thing I ever did. Well, not the best thing I ever did, but it's up
but
there.
But I'm just
in the
wondering, like, as well, there was a report today that said that a report in the paper. Jeez. I read that about the quality of your life living in big towns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because one of the things I've been doing whilst I'm on holiday, because I'm more relaxed, is reading newspapers, which is great.
Now, why are you reading newspapers?
Well, that's going to get your ag up, isn't it?
We all know.
No, well, I've avoided. Well, I'm only reading The Guardian.
Newspapers are on the way out. I do worry that talk radio is the new day of broadcasting.
Yeah, but that was going to fail. That, I mean, come on. Did you read it?
No, and it's in the office. We have it in the office and I never read it. Couldn't be bothered to pick it up and have a look at it.
It's the Metro and it's not free. So it was always going to fail. Anyway,
some people, you've 0844 499 1000. I've just got a feeling tonight we're not going to get many calls and that's fine. I've got obviously here and talk. You're getting trolled on Twitter.
Yeah, no. Am I really?
London is bored of Gatford.
Oh.
Well. I'm getting trolled on Periscope. I don't care. I'm already on
Periscope. Is someone being rude about you on Periscope?
Yeah, I don't care.
No, tell me their name and I'll block them, mate.
No, they're only saying I can talk for England and things like that.
Thank goodness you can, because they're not phoning up those lazy articles.
It was nobody being particularly rude. I've had far worse.
If they're rude, Gatford, seriously, because, I'm not mate.
He's ready.
But,
you're ready for it,
aren't you? Send me their usernames on there and I'll block them. Easy peasy. Okay. I'm happy to do that.
Thank you.
My sister in New Zealand is saying correction. She's correcting my story about the car in Swanage that you put 10 pence in. Mm-hmm. In it. Correction. My sister says, my little car stopped after 5 minutes. I then had to watch you drive around for another 40 minutes. It's true. I'm sure I let you... Shut up, Joe. I let you have a go. Shut up, Joe. I let you have a go. I said, shut up, Joe. I let you have a go. I let her have a go. And then we gave it to another family because we had to go and look at Corfe Castle.
Is that any good?
It's old. Mm. No, not really. It's just stoned. Oh, it's okay. One of those castles. It's one of those castles. It's the castle, I believe, that's in Nuts in May. Have you seen Nuts in May?
No.
Kath. I'll order the DVD. You've never seen Nuts in May?
No, what's it about?
Oh, mate, it's the sequel to Abigail's Party.
All right.
Keith, come and look at these interesting fossils I found, Keith. It is...
flip. It's Mike Leigh's best film by a country mile. It is just a Keith, Keith.
Is it a comedy?
Oh, mate, it's a joy. Everybody, everybody. This is, if you take nothing away from me, right? Nuts in May. Let me have a look, see what it is on Amazon, because you've got to...
By the way, nice denim jacket, Kath.
Thanks. It's really cold in here. He likes to have the heating
down.
Thank you, though. I appreciate
it. I like to have the heating right down. Gafford, thanks for calling.
A pleasure.
Oh, you've never seen Nuts in May?
No.
Oh.
I've seen Abigail's Party.
Oh, did you like it?
Yeah.
Right, it's that, but outside. It's
it's that, but outside.
Yeah. It's, what's her name? His wife. What's her name? Alison Steadman. Mm. It's Alison Steadman, but, there's an American version of Nuts in May with 3 extra minutes.
But you know, it would be awful.
What, the 3 extra minutes?
No, the American
version. No, it's the same. It's the same.
Oh, it's
film.
The same.
Look, there's a whole box of Mike Leigh. I might just buy the box set. That's amazing. Right, I'll buy the box set and you can borrow it. We'll have that. We will have that. Mike Leigh at the BBC. Bish, bash, bosh. I might have it on DVD already.
Well, don't be hasty. You'd have to buy it now.
Right. You're right. You're right. Back away. Back away from the purchase, Rory. Back away from the purchase.
Hey, Ian, how are you?
I'm hungry, Rory. And if I'm honest, I'm tired, because I did. It was lovely to see Adam. I've not seen Adam for years. I don't know him particularly well. But we did speak for 2 hours. That was a lot of chat. And so this is going to be 5 hours of chat. Yeah, all right. I'm not in the desert and I'm not building walls or anything. But still, guys, 5 hours of pure chat is a lot.
It's a chat-a-thon.
It's a chat-a-thon. The Chattanooga choo-choo. I'm all right, Rory. What you got for us, boss?
Well, it was something to do with what you said to Adam. You said that you don't like listening to podcasts. Well, you do like listening to podcasts, but you don't get time to listen to podcasts.
Well, no, I don't. I tend not to listen to podcasts, and I'm going to change that because I've been inspired by Adam's. I've listened to Adam's. It's nice on the drive home. If the two mics aren't on, there's nothing else on the radio that I like listening to. So I listen been listening to Adam's podcast, and I'm going to check out a few more. Mark Maron is a name I keep hearing mentioned. I might check him out. Apparently, he's quite good. And This American Life, I've been told, is quite good. Mm. I might check out.
I listen to you, and I listen to Nick Abbott, and I listen to Kermode, and that's all. But the rest of my problem with podcasts is that they end, and they just end, and they don't go on like the radio. You know, like the radio just goes on and on and on, and it's always there. And you turn on the radio, and it's you, or it's LBC, or it's something, but it's always on, you know. And that's why I don't like podcasts.
The reason I don't like podcasts, when I listen to a monkey's podcast, Zilch, there's just too much choice. There's too much choice, and I'm overwhelmed by it, and I just don't know where to go. So I just bury my head in the sand, and ignore it. And I get lots of people, and I really appreciate it. I don't click on links, guys. I get so many people sending me links of like YouTube and stuff like that. I don't click on them. And then I get people saying, Ian, would you listen to my podcast? And I tend not to, because if I did, I would feel obliged to listen to all of the podcasts I get sent, and I haven't got the time. And when I did listen to some a couple of years ago, they were rubbish.
And then what do you say? Well, if you don't say anything, they're going to know you thought.
Could you listen
rubbish
to the podcast and give us your thoughts on it? Well, do you really want my thoughts, or do you want me to say, yeah, I enjoyed that? That's what you want. You don't want me to say, I thought it was a little bit ropey. So,
so don't ask.
Yeah. So anyway, here we go. Hang on. Is she going to sing here? I'm trying to find a clip of Nuts in May. It's such a good film. Have you seen Nuts in May, Rory?
No, but the last time I was on with you, we were talking about Mike Leigh films, weren't we? I think you asked me about that, about some people having sex with a tree, wasn't it?
Or here's a clip. Hang on, here's a clip from Nuts in May. Hang on, I mean, this is just such a joy. Whack this up, because this is quite low, Ed. Here we go, listen to this.
Keith, No, you always tell me to do everything 72 times.
Mm.
But I don't think that can be right, because I'm, for instance, you're chewing nuts now. And they have to be chewed 72 times because they're very hard. But earlier on I was eating mushroom and I only got as far as 31 and it slipped down my throat quite naturally. So it doesn't always have to be 72 times, does it?
He's chewing. He's still chewing.
The important thing is to use your discretion.
Oh, it's such a good film.
If I watch that, I'm going to end up talking like her for at least a day.
I want to find the song where she sings a song about a zoo. Rory, did we get to your point? Sorry, I'm a little bit like... I'm giddy this evening. I'm giddy.
Yeah, no, we got to the point that podcasts end. And, oh, there is one podcast. Have you heard of... Stuff You Should Know? It's these two American guys, and what they do is they research a topic, and such as, combustion engines or alcoholism or paranoia or reverse psychology, and they don't know anything about the topic, and then they'll discuss it for half an hour, and they're coming to it fresh, and they tell you what they've learned about it. It's quite good.
Well, Rory, thank you, Rory. If that were on Radio 4, I'd listen to it. But because I've got to go to my computer and
put it on your iPod.
It's just although I've been listening to Adam on my phone. It's the first time I've used my phone for music or pleasure. Anyway, 0844 499 1000. It's going to be one of those shows tonight.
Talk Radio.
Okie dokie. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. What have we spoken about so far? Well, Adam Buxton, podcasts, and Nuts in May. That's not a bad first hour of the show. Again, the show is kind of guided by you guys. You want to talk about it? Well, you phone up and we talk about it. Was anyone really enthused by the elections today? I don't think so.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. And it's just dawned on me that I've not looked in the paper. Normally, what I do before the show is I'll look in the papers and I will jot down like 15 things that grab my attention. So if it goes quiet at any point, I can go, well, there was a story here on page 22 of The Sun. And I didn't do that tonight. I'm all discombobulated tonight. I got into work really, really early. I don't know why. I just did. I know why, because I wanted to come in and work. I've got a live CD coming out, guys. There's a live CD coming out. And I was just working on, naming all the tracks and stuff. It's coming soon, okay? Not like me singing live, that would be stupid. But me, the live show I did last year. I might do some more Ian Lee versus radio. I want to do one in London. And then I'm thinking of maybe doing another live show. Then I'm thinking of doing another live show. And I've kind of got a couple of ideas of what it might be. But I don't know. If any comedy clubs want to book me to do Ian Lee versus radio, get in touch, guys. Ian at ianlee.com. Why the hell not sell yourself? So, basically, what I'm saying is, for tonight's show, I'm woefully underprepared. And what makes that so awkward is the fact that no one seems to want to call in. And what makes that even more awkward is I've lost... I'm a little bit worried about this. I'm really hoping it's at home, otherwise I'm in trouble. I've lost my hard drive with all my music on. Which is very, very worrying. So I haven't got, I don't think they're on this computer without the hard drive. And I don't know where the hard drive is. Let's try, not there, you see? Let's try, nope, not there, you see? Do you see? Let's try, nope, not there. So I've got nothing for the show.
literally nothing for the show. But do you know what? What other radio show would expect to get 2 hours, another 2 hours? We've had an hour so far with no content. A whole 3 hours out of absolutely nothing whatsoever. Huh? Now, there may be a reason. There may be a reason that people don't tend to do that. That's what's happening today. 0844 499 1000 if you want to call in. I tell you one thing that did disappoint. We're based in London, okay? We're based in South London, in Waterloo. And it was a very nice day. So Kath and I, we had our production meeting. We went for a walk along the South Bank. And it was really busy. Is that because the trains were all knackered? I think the trains in South London today have been all knackered. So it's really busy. It was like there's like a party going on or something. It was weird, man. And there were some street performers, and most of them were rubbish. We saw these guys like doing some funny dancing and stuff and spinning some steel drums. They were quite good. I enjoyed that. But the rest of it was street performers. Listen, I used to go busking, and it really is. I wish them nothing but joy and luck. But I'm not coming back to Birmingham. Well, I might come back to Birmingham, Paul. I don't know. I'm sure you would. I know you would. But the South Bank was just full of all these street performers, and it was. I suppose it was a joyous, happy, sunny noise. But I just kind of wished everyone would just shut up a little bit, you know. And there was one guy, you know, I said a couple of weeks ago, the way to have a hit record, 0844 499 1000, the way to have a hit record is to take a song from about 10 years ago and do a really slow version of it. Well, there was a guy singing who, I don't know if he'd heard that suggestion, but he certainly could. I tell you what, Russ, if he'd have let me manage him, I could have given him a hit record. All he had to do was, he was so miserable. If he'd have sung... Sorry?
Who was that?
Some busker I saw on the South Bank. If he'd have sung Girlfriend by the Pussycat Dolls, like, slowed down, he could have had a hit record with that. Do you know that song?
Yeah, well, I think I do, yeah.
Yeah, but slow it down. So don't you wish your girlfriend was ha! Like me. Don't ya.
Oh, like a bit of a swing style.
Yeah, well, yeah, or even slower. And I tell you what, here we go. I am expanding my listening pleasures, right, partly because of Adam's podcast has made me realise there is more out there than talk radio and Radio 4, which is all I listen to, LBC a little bit. I've started listening to, and you shouldn't mention other radio stations, Heart. Not Heart, stop, delete, not Heart, they're rubbish. Kiss.
Not my cup of tea.
No, it's not my cup of tea, but do you know what, Russ? There's something about driving through central London with the hot sunshine, the window down, and then blasting out some dance music!
Oh, dance music, yeah. I used to like Radio 1 back in the day when with the old Judge Jules and Pete Tong and Dave Pearce and dance anthems, but...
There's a cover. Oh, there's a cover of Fast Car.
I've heard that recently.
Is this it? Hang on a second. Now, I hate Fast Car. I dislike Fast Car and Tracy Chapman. I thought this was a girl. It's a bloke. I love this. Here we go.
You're a fast car. I wanted to get to anywhere. Maybe we'll make a deal.
Maybe it is a girl singing. I get confused with pop groups these days as to what's the point of a girl. But they're playing this all the time on Kiss. I was loving that.
I've got to agree, I do prefer that version than the original.
The Tracy Chapman album. I used to go out with a girl who had that album. And boy, oh boy, it's really... I'm going to be honest, right? It's really hard to make out with a girl when you're listening to an album about that contains several songs about spousal abuse. It's just... It just doesn't do it for me, Russ.
No, no. I'll tell you, there's a song like that, you know, and it was only recently that I clicked on, because I never really listened to the lyrics. Is yeah. Susan Vega. What's that song?
Oh, it's about child abuse.
Is it child abuse?
I think it's about child abuse.
It's about some kind of abuse, and I was listening to it, and I'd never really took any notice of the lyrics.
Yeah, you have got to be so careful with lyrics these days, because they mislead. What they do is they write a miserable song about a serious issue, and they wrap it up in pop.
Yeah,
very confusing.
You've got folk dancing away to it. Yeah, like,
that's not fair. Do you like this, sure. Kath? Do you like this song? Do you not?
Yeah, yeah.
I love this.
Well,
I don't. I don't. Hang on, Cass.
Fast or slow, it's a no.
No, but listen.
No, but it's on that CD I bought for the kids.
You keep listening to it. You keep listening to it. It'll get in your brain. There are some good stuff on Kiss. There was another good song. Oh, I don't know. It was a girl singing about a boy. It's good.
I've got into one of the Jonas Brothers recently. He's on my new CD that I bought for the girls.
You got into one of the Jonas Brothers?
I think it's Joe Jonas. He sings one called Jealous. That's a good song.
Poor Man's Hanson. Yeah. Now there's a good band.
Yeah.
Hanson are a great band.
They might be now, but I wouldn't have said so back in the day.
Oh, mate. Can we get Hanson on the show?
Yeah, probably.
Get Hanson on this show. I flip it, and there's no sarcasm or anything in it. I flipping love Hanson. Let me try and find. I'm having to do this all on YouTube, and I can't remember.
Didn't we get him on before?
We had them on Three Counties.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I had them on Absolute. I love them. They're brilliant. You say, all right, guys, there's a guitar. Can you give us a song? Oh, they're three-part harmonies. Flip, what's the song I'm trying to think of? God, you talk to Ross while I try and find this song.
So, Ross, you like 60s stuff, don't you?
I like pretty much anything apart from country and western. But I've got to say, my CD came today that Ian recommended. Oh, man. I was out in the garden, because I hadn't got a stereo in the garage. So I wound my windows down on my van, put that on, full whack, in the garden, did a bit of pottering around, it's beautiful in the sunshine.
Which one was it?
Nuggets.
It's called the Nuggets.
Oh, yeah, Nuggets.
It's
got
brilliant.
Got flowers in the air and everything.
Yeah, it's like all these obscure sort of psychedelic and sort of bluesy rock songs that never quite made it from these obscure bands. It's a good stuff on there, man.
I was thinking, brilliant. I'm so glad you just mentioned that to me, because I'd never heard of that compilation.
It's a classic. I'm glad you found it. I'm going to find the name of this. There's a flipping brilliant. I've seen them live about, twice. I can tell you exactly how many times I've seen them. And I'm trying to find.
Yeah, what was that song? It's quite a new one of theirs. You liked.
Oh, it's brilliant. Is it this one from... hang on, bear with me. Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Listen to this, right? Listen to this. And you... I mean, this is just... Is it this one? It's the one where they're outside and then they go inside. Here we go. Oh, yeah, listen to this. Listen to this. This is Hanson, right? Umbop, yeah? Here we go. Like it's warming up. Here we go.
Well, I gave you love, you know it. So when did you outgrow it and decide that you would find another man? You've been out there shaking, terrible boys chasing.
Come on, Ross, yeah? Ross, you digging it?
Yeah, yeah. Good.
It's Hanson! It's flipping Hanson!
Well, I've run out of patience for this kiss situation. You won't find me crying now we're through. I've been thinking about something other than you.
And that's not the song I'm thinking of. There's another... Shut up. There's another song, and I can't think what the other song was. But I love a little bit of Hanson.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, exactly. You see, and this is the thing, right? I don't know if it's this one.
This is the thing, right? The only band I can't be bothered with are Coldplay. Everyone else, I'll give them a Coldplay and reggae. They're the only. Oh.
Well, like, I've got to be honest. I know they're a bit samey, the songs, but I do like a bit of Coldplay. And I definitely like the old reggae. Here's a cracker for you.
Go on.
Check out a song, right? There's no swearing in it or anything like that. It's by an artist, a reggae artist. He's a Londoner. He died a few years back.
Levi Roots?
No, Smiley Culture.
Oh, Smiley Culture. I remember Police Smiley Officer. Culture.
Police Officer. Oh, God, I remember having some times listening to that.
Steady on. This is the song. I played you the wrong song. Listen to this. This is Hanson, right? Let's just get... there's a bit of acting at the start of the video. Here we go. This is flipping brilliant. I'm having a handsome weekend at my house. She's about to walk away. Hang on a second, wait till you get to the chorus. Here we go, it's building up. They're teasing us. It's gonna go up. We're gonna go up now, here we go, ready? Tension. What a song!
All right.
Russ, listen, I've got to go for a break, but keep listening because I'm going to tell you a brilliant story about Hanson in a second.
Late night conversation, wealth, losing sleep over. Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Evening, dear listener. Tonight's show, there's no real agenda, to be honest. You know, what day is it? Is it Thursday? Yeah, it's Thursday today. It's Thursday. It's been a hot day. It's been a weird day because it's been so hot, and you might have had your day scuppered by the trains being ruined. It's a weird day because I'm guessing some of you went out to vote in whatever elections you were voting in, whether it was the London Mayor or PCC. The PCCs, really? Who gives a stuff about local council? And they're always weird days. I enjoy voting. I enjoy the ritual of trying to find my polling card and then going down and go. I love it. I just couldn't be bothered today because I was only voting on the PCCs. I couldn't give a stuff, to be honest, about that. Really? So it's what are we doing tonight? It's just... a lot of you don't want to call in tonight, and that's groovy, man. That's fine. So it's just kind of a laid-back sort of Thursday night, warm... show. Is it still warm out? I don't know where you are, if you're listening in bed or if you're in the car. Is it still warm out? Is it too warm to be comfortable in bed? Maybe? I don't know. If you want to join in, I mean, what have we spoken about so far? Well, we had Adam Buxton for the first half hour. We've spoken about Hanson. Spoken about Nuggets. Spoken about podcasts. You know, the usual kind of random shiz. You can call in about anything you want. And I can't stress that enough. I've had so many people... And by the way, I'm just muting people on Twitter. My relationship with Twitter is fraught. I think Twitter and I need to either go and see marriage counselling or split, right? Because I've just had enough of it. I've had enough of people calling me an arsehole, basically, on my telephone. You know, basically sending me messages to my pocket, saying all horrible stuff. But I can't be bothered. People call me a racist and all. I am muting without mercy, and I've muted about half a dozen people today. And don't be, you know, the people now being paranoid. Did he mute me? He's not replied to me, and I'm not replying to anybody. I've unfollowed everyone. I'm not replying. Adam was, you may hear in his podcast, him just telling me to walk away from Twitter. I've deleted it from my phone. I'm not replying to anyone. I'll put up links for the show and I'll, when the live CD comes out and stuff like that, I'll do that. But as a form of engagement, I'm not going to do it for the moment. I mean, it might change. It might change by the end of the show. But I'm just thinking, for the moment, as a form of engagement, I'm probably not going to do it. You can always go to facebook.com/Ian Lee. But yeah, people, loads of people on Twitter, do you want me to come on the show and talk about this? When would you like me to come on the show and talk about this? If you want to come on the show and talk about that, beautiful. If you don't want to come on the show and talk about the thing that you're asking me if you want me to come on, it's all fine, man. It's all fine. I can happily sit here for 3 hours and just let my, what do they call it? A brain fart. Just let all of, still a bit bunged up, did you hear that? And just let all of, you know, my thoughts come out of my mouth hole. Or you want to phone in about me being a racist? You phone in about it, man. You want to phone in about the elections? Fine. You want to phone in about George Galloway? Fine. Phone in, man. It's all groovy. Really is. 0844 499 1000. 0844 499 1000 is the phone number. For the first 2 hours of the show, we call you back. All right? And that's what Hannah did. Evening, Hannah.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm still a little bit bunged up. Do you mind? Would it be rude if I blew my nose?
No.
All right, excuse me.
Go ahead.
There we go. Just, you know, that last sort of 3-4 days of a cold when it just... I feel fine, but I'm just a bit bunged up, and it just won't let go of me. I've got that. Everyone's got it. Not everyone.
Yeah, it's all going around, yeah.
It is going around, and loads of people have had... loads of people, including Dan's mentioned it on Twitter, and loads of people have had the ear infection thing. I don't know if mine was an ear infection, but the, you know, where you're bunged up in the ear and you can't hear anything.
Yeah, it's not nice.
No, it's not nice at all. Anyway, what are you calling for, Hannah?
The Hanson thing, you have to get them on.
We do, don't we?
Yeah, I'm a massive fan of theirs.
The thing about Hanson, right, I like them from day one. I saw Mbop when I was in Pakistan for 3 months, and we had, like, I guess we were watching Indian MTV in Pakistan, maybe. I don't think Pakistan... Maybe Pakistan had its own MTV. Anyway, so we're watching... We'd get Top of the Pops 3 weeks later, or a month later... And we had their MTV, which was a little bit behind. So, and also, this is the thing, Hannah, right? I was seeing all of these videos on MTV without my friends telling me what they thought about it, without reading in newspapers or magazines what I was supposed to think about it. So I was just getting all of this stuff, all of these videos, and just taking them on face value. And the Hanson video for Mbop, yeah. I remember thinking, whoa, she's going to be hot when she, turns 16. Because I thought she was like a cute 15-year-old kid. Of course, it was a boy. It was a young lad. But I remember, I'm a fan of pop, and I heard Mbop, and I thought, man, this has got to be the greatest pop song of the 20th century. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And I went and saw them. I'll never forget my first day of filming for the 11 o'clock show, and my girlfriend at the time had bought me tickets to see Hanson at Wembley Arena. And I went down there in my big suit that I used to wear, and we were like, you know, we had quite good seats, and we were just surrounded by screaming kids. And I loved them from day one. I'm a huge Hanson fan.
Yeah, they came around about 96, 97, wasn't it, roughly?
Something like that, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I've not been fortunate to see them, but I really would love to see them.
Oh, mate, they played somewhere in London about 4 or 5 years ago, and they did six, I think they had six albums out, or seven, and they played, they did that thing that was quite trendy for a while, to play an album each night.
Yeah.
And they were great. And you know about the Hanson at My Wedding guys, don't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is right. For those who don't know, it was these guys, I can't remember his name, James and someone else, I can't remember. Let's say he was called James. Really, really nice blokes. And this James was getting married. And he had made it his mission to get Hanson to play at his wedding. And he didn't tell his fiancée he was doing this. And so every day he would record a video asking Hanson to come and play at his wedding. But he would do it like, it would be really funny. And Bishop and Douche, those are the guys' names. And they would send like all these videos every day. And I got in touch with them, or they got in touch with me about 100 days into it. And they said, look, we want to do this. And I interviewed Hanson. I said, look, are you aware about the Hanson at my wedding, guys? And they said, yeah, we are. We don't know how to play it. Is the guy having a laugh at our expense? I said, no. Listen, I've spoken to him. I know he's genuine. My suggestion, and I brokered this deal, my suggestion, Hanson, is you do it, you look really cool. At the very least, you've got to give him something, you know, film a video or something. And in the end, they didn't play at his wedding, but what they did, they filmed a video and they basically paid for the couple's honeymoon in Jamaica.
Oh, they did do something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
they paid for that honeymoon in Jamaica where they Hanson were playing at a festival. So they had a 2 weeks, I think, in Jamaica. They got to go and see Hanson in concert and they got to meet them afterwards. What nice blokes.
Oh, brilliant.
So I will always love Hanson for that. We'll get them on the show, Hannah. They're on the list, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Let me know if they do come on. I want to speak to them.
I'll make sure I do, Hannah. All right. Nice one.
Thank you.
Thank you, mate. Ta-ta. I'll wait 444-499-1000. The guests we have on, some of you have said, what strange guests you've got. We're only getting on people that I absolutely love, that I really, really like. Adam, I'm a huge fan of. Everybody we've had on, I'm a huge fan of, and I love them. I just think it just makes for a more interesting interview. We get offered all the people. Oh, such and such has got a book coming out. Do you want them? No. Such and such is doing a tour. No, not bothered at all. And it just makes for a more relaxed, interesting chat, I think, if you've got someone on that you've got a connection with. So that's what we're aiming to do. We may have to bend that rule from time to time. We'll see how it goes. And we may get guests on. We may take a punt on a few guests from time to time. But that's kind of the way it works. And Prognos, Danny Baker's coming on soon. Danny Baker, Charlie Brooker, Mickey Dolenz. I think they're all confirmed. I think Noddy Holder's coming on at some point. So... yeah, if they ever pull their fingers out. 0844-499-1000. Sam, John, stay there. Come to you after this.
The Wild Man of Late Night Radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Can we... Ed, can you get that trail up again for Eamon's show?
Yep, can you
get it up and play it, because there's something really weird in that trail. Yeah, have a listen. Just dragging it around the computer system. Here we go.
She's the TV star, author and agony aunt who's a much loved loose woman.
Yep.
She's lived a life in the spotlight after hitting singing success with her sisters at only 9 years of age. She's Colleen Nolan.
Right, stop the clock. Colleen Nolan. Now, I know where they would have got that from, because Eamon's Irish, right? And Colleen's Irish. And Eamon, I can imagine, I love Eamon Holmes. What a nice gentleman. But imagine him saying, "So, Colleen." You can, with the Irish accent, you can hear, but I would have... Colleen? Colleen, John? John? Ah, John's disappeared. Let's get John back. Yes, Sam?
Hello, you okay?
I'm all right. Sam, what you got for us?
I've got two things. Remember I recommended Tame Impala to you, that band?
Remember who?
Tame Impala.
Oh, yeah, the Australian psychedelic band.
That's the one. There's a song that I think you should really listen to. It's called Elephant. It's quite a popular song, but the bass on it is absolutely incredible, and I'm wondering...
It's got a fat bass! Got a big fat bass on it. A big fat bass line.
Yeah, it's proper good, isn't it?
Big fat bass line.
Just how I like it.
Yeah, I like a big fat bass. I play bass guitar, not very well, but I like the bass. It's big fat bass line. So boom da boom da boom. That's a bass line.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Scroobius Pip before?
Yeah, of course I have.
You should get him on the show, because he's a massive inspiration to me. I'm not sure, obviously, if you guys are friends or whatever, but I think his stories, I mean, his podcast as well, absolutely incredible.
Loads of people have suggested I get him on the show. I'm probably not, but he follows me on Twitter, Scroobius Pip, and have actually spoken in the real... Sometimes it's hard to tell whether you've spoken in the real world or the fictional world. I might get him on at some point, but I don't really know him.
Yeah, I mean, I made... made a video letter to him because obviously I've got a stutter, and obviously he's a spoken word artist and also a poet and a rapper and all sort of stuff. And it's quite inspirational to have someone like that who kind of, like yourself, you know, is in the public eye but isn't, you know, I don't know. But I don't know what the best way to describe him is. He isn't everywhere, if that makes sense, but he's, when you know him or know of him, he's there. And the tweets he says, all sort of stuff, he's just a general good guy like yourself. So,
I appreciate that, Sam. It will be investigated. Have we got John back?
Hello?
Hello, John. What happened? Did you fall down or something?
No, I tell you what, you cut me off. I was drifting off, then I was sucked into the radio.
I didn't cut you off.
No, okay, so whatever. Anyway,
you said I cut you off.
I left. Something happened.
What is going on with you? Are you high on drugs?
No, I want to talk about Charlie Brooker.
Oh, yeah, Charlie Brooker, who's hopefully coming on if he ever starts replying to his emails.
I look forward to Charlie Brooker.
Yes.
Brooker. Because I like him because... Brooker. I like him because... Brooker. I like him because...
Yes.
He says he's joking, but he's not. Anyway...
What does that mean? You like him... Because...
Well, anyway, I want to say, ever since you've been off the Twitter, you've seemed a lot more easygoing and carefree.
Well, hang on, it was only yesterday, wasn't it?
Well, it's a rapid change.
Yep, well, I suppose so, yeah.
It's all changed, hasn't it? I think you've started caring less.
Yeah, possibly, yes. I mean, it's Twitter's an interesting one. It seems it's a theme Well, I keep coming back to, and so therefore the show keeps coming back to by default. It's a strange thing. I don't think... Adam Buxton said to me earlier on, off air, he said, Twitter is an illusion. It's all an illusion on there. There's no point in arguing with people because you can't win. And if you block them, they will take that as a vindication and in their head proves their point and proves your weakness. And Twitter serves no real purpose whatsoever. Sorry?
And in my
eyes,
darling, what? Right in front of me.
What the hell's happened?
He's on talk radio, Ian Lee.
Jeez, what?
Ian Lee, Ian Lee, Ian Lee, Ian Lee. He's on talk radio.
Okay.
Ian Lee.
Okay. Yep. Thank you very much. I literally... no idea. Weird one tonight, and that's fine. I like the weird ones. 0844 499 1000 is the... telephone number if you want to give us a call. Here we go. This is what we want. All the papers, of course, can't mention the elections and stuff, so just imagine, I bet LBC right now is wetting its pants talking about the London mayoral election. Oh yeah, they're a national station, but they will be talking about the London mayoral election like there's no... I bet they are. Someone nip over and have a little listen for me and let me know if they are. I bet they are. Oh, hang on a second. Someone's found... I haven't got an Instagram account, have I? Oh, yes, I have. Oh, yeah, I see. 0844 499 1000 is the... I tell you about... Before I go to the papers. So we're walking along the South Bank. They've closed Namco World. Talk about London-centric. They've closed Namco World. I said, Kath, hey, let's go into Namco World. It's gone. And now it's the London Dungeon. Well, the London Dungeon should be by London Bridge, not where... For those who don't know, Namco World was this awesome arcade, like just like four floors of arcade heaven. And they got rid of it. They flipping got rid of it. I was gutted. I'm getting into my games again at the moment. I've been playing Xbox a bit, and I bought a couple of old games. I bought the Star Wars one for Xbox One, and an old Call of Duty, and I've got a couple of others I've not played yet. If you want to add me, Michael Nesmith is the So, but I'm it's tricky with young kids because I don't want to play violent games in front of the young kids. You see, I'm tired tonight. I wouldn't mind going home after the show. Get home about two. Have an hour or so on Star Wars Battlefront. I probably won't. 0844 499 1000. Now, this looks like bullshine. A gadget that makes the speediest sandwiches. This will never ever work. I don't even understand how this works. Butter a loaf, a whole loaf, in just 30 seconds. You're having a laugh. It may just be the best thing since sliced bread. Ah. I've got no music to play underneath it. This is why it's all sounding a little bit dry. Let me see. Oh, we go. We're going to play this. There we go. It's a perfect bit of music. I've got it. This is the only bit of music I've got on this computer now. I can't find my hard drive. I wonder where that is. It's a worry. It may just be the best thing since sliced bread. A retired chef. Can you ever retire from the world of chefery? I don't think so. Has developed a device that can butter a loaf in just 30 seconds. The thing is, right, real butter is so delicious, isn't it? So delicious. But you can't butter with it. You just can't do it. Because it rips the bread apart. Margarine, you can... butter. Margarine's made of plastic. You know that, don't you?
It's got what about that spreadable butter?
That doesn't work.
Doesn't work?
Doesn't work. Doesn't work. A retired chef... That's a bit good. Hang on. A retired chef has developed a device that can butter a loaf in just 30 seconds. And unlike so many recent inventions, there are no apps... This is a silly paragraph. There are no apps, smartphones or microchips involved. Well, loads of inventions don't have apps or smartphones. What a stupid thing to say. Just a little ingenuity... and elbow grease. Are you listening, Colleen? Kevin Whitehead, 60. He retired and he's 60. Got the idea from the equipment that paints white lines on the roads. Suddenly I'm interested. 0844 499 1000. A steel box is filled with butter and then controlled by a plunger that pushes the butter out of a gap in the bottom of the device. What? The user moves the box across the bread from top to bottom, leaving butter spread evenly across the slice. This guy's a flipping genius. Mr. Whitehead, who worked in the catering industry for 20 years... So hang on a minute. This guy, I'm suspicious of this guy. So he's 60 and he's retired, and he only worked in the catering industry for 20 years. So that's from 40 to 60, if we assume he retired at 60. What did he do for the other 40 years? All right, some of those he was a child. Let's say 20. So what? There's 20 years missing, like, from this guy's CV. And I'm, for one, am very, very suspicious. Anyway, this chancer, this charlatan, said... Stay there, Jessica. I'll be with you in a minute. 0844 499 1000, by the way. Spreading butter on sandwiches is one of those jobs where if you're doing it every day, it can become very tedious. It can become very tedious? Oh, I mean... There was nothing like this in the market. Some people use the back of a spoon. What? And then he says, this is a weird thing. And the armed forces sometimes melt the butter and spread it on with a paintbrush. Well, I melt the butter. If I got butter from the fridge, I'll melt it. The armed forces use a paintbrush? Flippin' heck. I was thinking there must be a quicker way of spreading butter for our brave boys and girls and looking around for solutions. This guy... Here we go. And we can fill it... I tell you what, we'll have a break and then we're going to fill in the gaps in this chancer's CV. I don't trust this... What's this... Hang on, what's this fella's name? Mr. Whitehead. Right, Mr. Whitehead, we got your number, son.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Bear with us, Jessica. We're trying to sort out ordering food. What are you trying to do? What's
right,
wrong?
So I've gone on that site.
Yeah.
The one we advertised.
Just Eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I ordered something delicious.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you have to pay. And then it says he wants to verify with your bank.
Have that.
But it's asking for too many codes.
Have that.
But it'll ask me for your verification code.
It'll go straight through, trust me. It straight through. What have you ordered?
Indian.
You must be taking such a big risk right there.
You reckon? It was highly recommended. It's got 4 stars.
The thing is, not this service. Some of these delivery services where it's not a specific place. Was it Just Eat, Jessica? Sorry? Are you right, Jessica?
No, sorry. I have got a cold, and it's probably not the best time to have called you, but, you know.
I've not spoken to you.
I know.
For about 10 years.
No, I don't think it's 10 years. Maybe
eight years.
I was thinking about it the other day. I was listening to you and I was going to call.
Eight years.
And I thought, probably about 7 years.
8 years. Hang on a minute. Let's reminisce in a second.
I can't remember.
Go and order some food.
Right.
Now.
Is that acceptable?
Go, girl.
I bet you it won't work.
I knew I'd end up paying for it. 8 years. I must have left LBC 8 years ago.
Well, I think you left.
You didn't call me at Absolute.
I think I called you once.
Oh, okay.
And decided I didn't really like it.
Oh, you didn't like it?
Oh. Well, I mean, I liked you, obviously.
Yeah, I don't matter if you don't like. What didn't you like about it? The music.
I didn't like the music, really.
Yeah, I know. I got it down to four songs.
It wasn't me.
I got it down to 4 songs an hour, and I wish I'd played more of my own music then. I didn't really take full advantage of that. A Virgin and Absolute was a weird time. I think I was there longer than I was at LBC, but it never felt like home to me.
Well, no, you see, I didn't even know who you were before you went to LBC.
Well, I wasn't anybody before LBC.
To be fair, I probably vaguely knew you from that 11 o'clock show thing.
Oh,
very
yeah.
vaguely.
Yeah.
But when you were on LBC,
yeah.
If you want to reminisce, it'll make us feel really old.
Yeah, we are old, Jessica.
I think the very first call I ever made to you was at a weekend. I was working a night shift in London.
Yeah.
And I called you and I think we talked about films. You were talking about films. It was a Saturday night or it must have been a weekend.
I've never spoken about films on the radio.
You did. Didn't you used to do a Saturday night show?
I did, yeah. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah.
And I'm sure at one point you were talking about something and it was involving films.
No, yeah.
And I called you up and I said, oh, I really like this film called Stand By Me. And you liked that film as well. You said that.
It's a good film. It's a good film. Stand By Me is a good but bleak film, based on a Stephen King novel. River Phoenix is in that, isn't he?
River Phoenix is in it. Kiefer Sutherland is in it.
And the guy that went on to be in Sliders, Jerry McConnell.
He's in it.
He's the fat kid, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in it.
Yep.
And, it's a very good film. It's a sad film, you know.
Yeah. I like sad films. And I like having a good old cry, Jessica, in front of a movie.
Do you know what my favourite one for that is? Like, it's The Green Mile. Every single time, Ian. At exactly the same points, every single time. Doesn't matter how many times. This bit makes me cry. I enjoy it. I look forward to it.
The film that makes me cry, have you seen Brief Encounter?
Well, no, because, you see, I don't really like the old... I don't like the olden day films.
No. I'm not a massive fan of the olden days films. But that is just, it's just perfect. It's heartbreaking. Chances missed. Opportunities not grabbed. Love's lost. Oh, man, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
I've seen highlights of it, obviously. I prefer sort of a bit more kind of, I don't know, reality. But I don't mind all that romantic stuff, of course. I'm not being cynical or anything. But I just find those kind of things not brilliant. I like a good weepy movie. I'm very hard to please when it comes to comedies. I can't stand all this stupid kind of, you know, transformery kind of thing.
I know what you mean.
I don't have patience for it.
I want to see people talking. And I want to see a few gunshots, bit of a car chase, a little bit of boob, and I'm happy. That's
you know
a good
what?
Film.
I hardly ever go to the cinema anymore. If I'm going to watch something, this Bank Holiday weekend that's just gone, I had a West Wing kind of binge. Oh. All Sunday afternoon, I must have watched about 9 of them.
I've been going to the cinema a lot recently, just because I've got the days free, you know. So I've been going to the cinema a lot. Mm. And it's enough expensive for what it is.
You sound like you're 107.
Sorry?
But I used to, again, when I was in London, I don't live in London anymore, obviously.
Well, obviously, yes.
But when I lived in London, one of the things, because I work nights, I used to go to the cinema sometimes in the afternoons just to A, kill time, and B, attempt to see some point of sunshine at some point of a week. So I would go to the cinema, and sometimes there'd be two or three people in there. Once, I had that just, you know, golden ticket.
Yeah.
Of being the only person in the cinema. I know exactly what I was watching. It was The Piano.
Yeah.
Is it Holly Hunter?
I don't know. I don't like those flowery films.
It was rubbish. I think I fell asleep. But I loved being in the cinema by myself. And the guy came in and he went, what do you want? I said, well, I want to see the movie. He says, oh, well, you're the only person. I said, brilliant, get on with it. But I think he wanted me to just, like, come back later or something.
Did we get a word in Edgware here?
I was just telling you that story.
Recently, I had the cinema to myself. I think it was Deadpool where I had this. Did it work? Of course it worked with my car, didn't it?
Yeah, but
there's a flipping surprise.
I'll give you the money back.
Yeah, you will. What's that? How long is it going to come? It'd be like
as soon as possible.
It'd be like an hour and a half.
Like 20 minutes.
It won't be 20 minutes. When has a curry ever been 20 minutes?
Well, it's not like...
How am I going to eat a curry when I'm doing the radio show? You got nibbles?
Yes. Like the whole thing.
I had the cinema to myself, I
think. Can I just tell you something first?
Yes,
yeah?
please.
Can we get a word in Edgware here?
Yes, Jessica. It's nice to talk to you again.
It's nice to talk to you. I hope you take this next thing in the spirit that it's meant. You want to be careful. You don't get accused of, eating racist food there, Ian.
Eating racist food.
It's a very, very delicate situation for you at the moment.
It's subtle. We're subtly having a curry, so it looks like I love all colours of people.
Good. For you.
There was one, I don't know if it was just one of these food delivery services where it's an umbrella, it's a hub for lots of restaurants, and it was on Watchdog, and some of them were legitimate restaurants, and some of them were people cooking it in their house.
Which means it's like where they lived?
Yeah, their house. Their house. What else do you think I mean?
Well, I thought you meant that you use some kind of service that...
No.
Different restaurants up together, but not like to people that just said, "Oh, I've got the ingredients."
Can we get a word in Edgware here?
They would.
Oh well.
Pretend to be. Speak to you in another 8 years. They would pretend.
Exactly, you're lucky. I'm still here.
I am very lucky. Thank you, Jessica. They would pretend that they were a restaurant. They would register themselves as a restaurant, but it was just like someone's house.
Oh. I've never heard of this before. I think you're making this up.
No, it's true. It's absolutely true. It was on Watchdog.
Well, I suppose that some people have been enterprising, aren't they? I mean, I have very strict rules. I don't like takeaway. I like to be... if I'm having a takeaway, I've had to have been to the shop first at some point.
Yeah.
Well, always.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
always,
nuts.
Always, always.
Oh, I've totally forgotten what I was going to say now.
And also, that thing that you've just said there, it's like that myth about, a mouse in a certain brand of chicken.
It was on Watchdog. It actually happened.
It's an urban myth. You know it is.
No, it actually... Oh, dear. Someone just sent a really long email, and I can't, for some reason... I can't read the whole email. Sorry, Tom, but thank you for that. Well, Jessica, do you know what? It genuinely is a delight to... The weird thing about doing this show on talk radio, right, is I thought a few people would come over from BBC Three Counties, which is where I've been.
Yeah, I never listened to you there.
No. I didn't expect you to. I was hidden away on a tiny local radio station. I didn't expect many people did. But I've been so surprised... I've been followed by people from the BBC, but then people have rediscovered me from Absolute, and people have rediscovered me from LBC. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've rediscovered you from LBC, And I mean, I've been listening to the show, not as much because obviously now I have a different kind of job, so I'm not sort of, you know, I can't stay up until 1 o'clock every morning. But do you want me to give you a quick appraisal?
Well, bearing in mind, right,
that I like you very much.
You slagged off the Absolute show.
No, I didn't. I just said it wasn't for me.
Well, what if you say that this isn't for you?
Well, no, I think it is, though, because this is what I liked about talk radio in the first place.
Go on. Give us your praise.
Very kind of pub-like radio, very casual, not let's get all excited because we're on the radio.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everyone knows that you only ever do that if you're faking it for one of those competitions.
Yeah.
You know, you get excited. But otherwise, just call up and have a chat. Don't worry about it.
This is what I want it to be.
Understand that some people might be in a bad mood and some people might be in a good mood and try and kind of find a kind of ground in the middle that you can meet.
This is what I want it to be. And this is what some people... I'm glad you've got it. Some people are struggling with it. Radio is so formulated. When you never go out with your mates, right? Say, right, we're going to meet at the pub at 9, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the first hour, I want to talk about Ken Livingston. For the second hour, we'll talk about the police and crime commissioners.
Yeah,
and then for the third hour, bit of fun, we'll talk about Janet Jackson having a baby at 50. It doesn't happen. It's you have a conversation and the conversation kind of moves and flows and ebbs and moves on.
And I also think that, I mean, why I think I will like this show... I would have to listen to it kind of quite consistently, I think. I think anyone who doesn't sort of know your, act, which sounds rude.
No,
you know
act
what
is
I mean?
Fine, yeah, I know.
Would need to have quite a consistent listen to it and just understand that obviously every show can't be like, you know, whatever Sony is
good.
Now, award-winning show, it can't be.
Yeah.
But I've been listening, everything that I've listened to has been good.
Well, I'm glad, Jessica, it's really nice to talk to you. Thanks for calling in.
Ta-ta. All right, bye.
Speak soon, bye-bye. Hello, Dennis.
Good evening.
I thought for a second that was your last breath.
No,
was hard work, wasn't it?
I've just been watching 50 Shades of Grey on TV.
Oh, mate, will you leave it alone? Literally, would you leave it alone?
It's better the second time around. There's things that... It's like reading a book the second time around. There's bits you've missed and suddenly
you get
make a bit more sense.
Are you enjoying seeing... She had lovely buttocks, that girl.
Well, she was very nice. She's a bit too anxious for it, mind you.
Actually, of course, she doesn't wear a bra.
And when I was young, to get him to that state.
Yeah, all right, steady on. You're obsessed with pornography, aren't you, Dennis?
No.
Oh?
No, funnily, I'm not.
OK. You're obsessed with 50 Shades of Grey?
No, not even that, not that, no. It was the entertainment going out with you and the other lads that I was entertained by. But I put it on tonight to see what it was like.
Dennis, what do you think about sex with a robot?
No, I totally disagree with sex with a robot.
OK, just asking.
Sex with a robot?
No, I totally disagree with sex with a robot.
OK, just asking, Dennis.
No, I wouldn't.
No, I totally disagree with sex with a robot.
But no. A little bit more enthusiastic than that.
Stick a pencil out there.
Sorry?
Hip, hip, hip.
Well, Dennis, it's been lovely talking.
Yes, anyway, all the best.
Thank you, mate.
Nice to talk to you. I hope whatever party you've voted for gets in.
I didn't vote today, Dennis.
Well, it's the same with the EU. I think it's
we can't talk about that one, but thank you, Dennis. I appreciate that. 0844 499 1000. Rest your dialing fingers, because we're going to have a little break and then we'll take some calls straight to air for the last hour of the show.
Talk Radio.
Oh, man, I'm tired tonight. Not much sleep last night. Long old day today. Lovely chat with the delightful Adam Buxton. Evening, dear listener. This is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. It's Thursday. It's coming up to midnight. We'll take calls straight to air for the last hour of the show, shall we? You can call in about anything you want. Say whatever you want. Have a go at me if you want. It's all groovy, you know. You're not in the mood for calling in tonight. Again, that's fine if you don't want to. I've got plenty I can talk about. Talk Radio, here's the news.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God. Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
By the way, well, I can't say this, so I won't say this, but my boss today, we had an interesting conversation about who he's thinking of getting to cover somebody on the air one day. Not cover my show,
But me and my... And I'm not going to say any more. Don't panic. But me and my boss had a little chat about the possibility of someone coming in to cover someone. If he pulls it off, right? Better than... I mean, they have, like, cover shifts over on the other place. Katie Hopkins. Who's the old man they have? John Stapleton. Flipping heck! Oh, God! No, the person they're thinking of getting, if they can pull it off, would be absolutely flipping awesome. I mean, I was there frothing. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. Kath's ordered a curry at 12:45. She reckons it'll be here in 20 minutes. It'll take an hour. It won't be here until half an hour after the show. That much I know. We'll take calls straight to it. Works like this. You call in, I touch this, it goes like this. Why are you worrying about doors slamming? You know what this show is. Yes, line one.
Hello, Ian.
You're on the air. Hello, who's this?
How are you? Billy.
Hello, Billy. I'm all right, mate. What you got for us?
Good. I was just ringing you, and you probably don't want to keep dragging it up, but it's quite interesting about the whole racist gate that went on a little while ago, because about 2 days before, I was planning on ringing you up to ask you the question, when is...
Are you a racist?
No, well, this is the question. This is maybe the tester.
Yeah.
When is a stereotype allowed to be funny? When are we allowed to actually kind of notice something that is a stereotypical person that you can put in a pigeonhole and have a bit of a laugh about it without laughing at them, but just noticing?
Well, this is the...
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. There's about three or four different things in it. That loads of people over the weekend neglected to or seem to be unaware that stereotyping and racism are two separate things. Give me an example, Billy. Yeah.
Well, okay. Let's say you are in Italy, and as you're driving along the street, you walk down this kind of narrow, typical-looking Italian street, and an old lady comes out and is beating her rag in the street. Excuse me, turn of phrase, but she's beating her rag.
You said beating a rug. You don't mean playing with her old vagina?
No.
I'm just checking.
Although,
Yeah. Is that an Italian thing to have old women beating rugs? I don't know if that's
It's a picture out of my mind. It's this kind of like this Italian.
Here's the thing. I'll give you a better one, right? A French bloke in a stripy jersey riding a bicycle with onions around his neck.
There
right?
you go.
Now,
if you saw that in France,
yeah.
What would you do? You would have to chuckle to yourself that you've seen the archetypical Frenchman.
Then again,
you know what I mean?
I don't know if you can hear me. Then again, right, but that's, you're saying if you saw that in France, okay, well, if you saw it in its natural habitat, then that's a different thing. If you saw it on in the streets of London and people were pointing and laughing, that is a different thing, isn't it? But I think most I personally wouldn't have a problem with seeing something like that and going, oh, it was a French bloke. But I suspect that if you replaced a white stereotype with a black or brown stereotype, that's when people, not necessarily me, I don't know, but that's when people would start to feel more uncomfortable about it. And I don't know if that's right, that we should feel more uncomfortable with a black stereotype over a white stereotype.
It's just a very, very kind of... It's an uncomfortable, unnerving thing. If I've had friends in the past, even when I was growing up at school, where you could poke fun at each other's race. And now, obviously, that's not for everyone, and I totally understand. But there was this understanding that we had amongst each other. It brought you together. It was like, it was this kind of like... These black kids at my school, they would take the mickey out of white things, and we'd take the mickey out of black things, and both of us were totally comfortable with it. And it was such it gave you such a warm feeling that you could make those jokes. Because let's face it, those text messages that go around when somebody dies or when, there's some really vile...
Oh, the jokes that come out immediately.
Between friends,
yeah.
We laugh and we find them funny, and that's a good one, and you forward it on. And obviously, within certain crowds, obviously, in a public domain where kind of yours was, there's room for people to jump on it. And
I wonder if A little bit of, and tell me if I'm going too far with this, a little bit of racial banter like you have with your friends. I wonder if the black kids did feel the same way that you felt, or if they... I sometimes am involved in banter where we're teasing each other, but actually I find it quite hurtful and I'd rather not do it, but it's easier to carry on teasing each other and playing that game than to say, actually, do you know what? What you're saying is quite hurtful and upsetting to me, and I'd rather stop. I did it the other day, actually.
Yes, I get that as well. Totally get that as well. And I'm relatively well known for having quite a harsh tongue and perhaps not knowing the boundaries.
That, ladies.
But the core of where it's coming from is the most important thing, right? Do you know what I mean? Like, if it's coming from a really horrible, vindictive, nasty place.
It is the core of where it's come from is an important thing. I think there are other important factors, equally as important factors as well.
Yes, I agree with that. It's just a minefield, and it's a shame that there's so many people out there that are just desperate to be outraged by the slightest possible thing, and it's killing comedy. In many ways.
Well,
you know what I mean? It's killing the art of saying something funny on the spur of the moment, totally not believing it, totally not meaning it. You know, just something crops into your head and it has to be said.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with it. It's not killing comedy. And some things are best left unsaid.
True. Yeah, I agree. I guess I'm thinking of specific scenarios.
No, I know. Billy, I'm going to let you go, only because I can see you're calling from a mobile and it will cost you a few quid. I should just say, 0844-499-1000. We normally call back. The last hour of the show, we don't. 7p a minute plus access charge. Actually, he might have a network where it doesn't cost significantly more. I know there are some networks, I don't know what they are. You can find it online where it's not quite as expensive as others. Oh, shall I tell you what I was going to do? Shall I open up the Skype as well?
Well, if you can, because I'm having a bit of trouble out there uploading the podcast. Says I've got no internet connection.
Oh, I'm... Periscopers, are you still there or have you gone? Periscopers are still there.
Are they?
Yeah, they're giving us the hearts. Yeah,
it's just those
there.
Computers out there, then.
Yeah, it's just those computers out there.
I'll have another go in a minute.
Line one, you're on the wireless.
See if we can play catch-up with this one.
Okay, all good. Oh, I've closed on the windows. Go on, go on.
Falling in love was the last thing I had on my mind.
Different speed versions, that's why there was a problem. This is a song, man. The Babies, Isn't It Time? There's a song. We've got the Skype open as well. So if anyone, I've got to just change a setting on Skype because I've got the answer phone messages and everything. Oh, I've got loads of stuff. We've got loads of stuff for the show. Don't panic. 0844-499-1000. Let's have a break.
Late night conversation, wealth, losing sleep over. Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844-499-1000. If you know the number for the answer phone, you can call that as well. It's up and it's running. We were talking about this chancer, right, who's invented a bread butterer. Just remind you, Kevin Whitehead, 60. He's retired. Right, he's retired at 60. You're having a laugh. He worked in the catering industry for 20 years, and then he's invented a bread butterer. Well, I was suspicious. I'm glad I was suspicious, because my suspicion led me to paragraph 7 onward, where we find out a little bit more about this chancer, this fake, this charlatan, this Dr. Hook medicine show man. He came up with his invention 25 years ago when he worked in catering at universities and factories. So he's not a chef. He was a dinner man. They never say dinner man, do they?
No.
Yes, they do. When do they say dinner? Dinner. They say Batman.
It's Batman. You're confusing it.
He came up with his invention 25 years ago when he worked in catering at universities and factories. He left to become a driving instructor in the 90s. This is just... I mean, this guy sounds like a complete and utter dreg of humanity.
It's an unusual career progression.
He was forced to retire last year due to shoulder problems.
Oh. You should have got one of those bobbly... You're right.
I'm indicating how someone might get a shoulder problem.
That's more wrist, isn't it?
Yeah.
He should have got one of those bobbly things for his car seat. They work, don't they?
It was then he decided to set up the firm called Offondor. Do you know what that is Latin for? Offondor.
No.
To spread. Why is there a Latin word for everything?
They started it.
But still, everything... There's like a Latin word for remote control.
Well, you can compose one.
With his wife, Julie, 57, to commercialise. Mr Whitehead, who works from his home in Gotham, Nottinghamshire. That food will not be here before the end of the show. I guarantee it.
Can I ring them up?
No.
I can ask and see.
They didn't say 20 minutes. Did you make up the 20 minutes? Don't ring them up now. I don't want to ring them now.
All right.
Since I came up with the design, it's always been at the back of my mind as a business idea. But when I was working, I didn't have the time. If you're doing 2 or 3 loaves a day, it wouldn't be worth it. But anyone going through 10 loaves a day would save them a lot of time. And here we go. And here's the problem. Here's why the Luddites, Jeremiah Luddite and all of his followers who smashed the spinning jennies, were actually right. They were socialists. It means one pair of hands can do 4 people's work. Boom!
Oh, 3 people at work there.
3 people! Out of a job straight away. David Cameron must be pulling his hair out looking at this. I bet, I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Kevin Whitehead and his beautiful wife Julie weren't assassinated mysteriously. Another Dr. David Kelly. Another doctor. Remember Dr. David Kelly? Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah.
He was murdered by the not the CIA, the MI5. Oh, no, suicide. Oh, come on, was it suicide? No one rams paracetamol down their throat still in the wrapper. That's what happened.
Gosh.
That's what happened.
Gosh, that's messy, isn't
it? He was murdered by our government. When are we going to get the files on that? No one talks about that anymore, do they? That was weird, that, as well. Weapons of mass destruction. Sexed up dossiers. Tony Blair. Words. The 90s.
New Labour.
Despite getting their business up and running last month, the couple who've invested 15 grand have already sold...
Oh, go on. 15 grand on what, tubs?
It's a machine that butters bread is going to put a lot of people out of work.
Right.
The couple, who've invested £15,000 of their pension fund, have already sold 15 of the devices. Oh. They have also commissioned 600 of the spreaders, which they sell for...
£90.
Is that all?
£90.
Hang on, whoa, whoa, whoa. They spent 15 grand and they're selling them at £90 a pop.
Yep. To be made and planned to sell them to high-volume catering operations such as hospitals, prisons and sandwich suppliers, the places where he used to work. This is all very sniffy.
Don't pay more than 90 quid.
What? You pay 90 quid for a bread butter?
No, but an organisation like that can pay more than 90 quid.
I wouldn't give you a fiver for that. It's the kind of thing you'd see at the Ideal Home exhibition and your mum would buy it and it'd be rubbish. Yes, line one.
Hello?
Hello, who's this, please?
Ian.
Who?
Why can't they use a brush to put butter on, like the Yankee Army do?
Here we go. I said that in the story. They paint their butter on?
Yes.
It's an insane...
Certainly did out in Japan when I was there. They put the butter on with a brush.
Well, you can get spray-on cheese in America.
There's lots of things you can get in America you can't get here, isn't there?
They have no respect for dairy products.
No.
I tell you what, my mother could start off with 1/4 pound of butter and wind up with 1/2 pound.
Literally no idea what that means.
She scraped it off and she had more when she finished than when she started.
I love butter. I love butter. Oh, it's both bad for you. Ah, jog on. Do you know
what? It's not bad for you anymore.
Is it good for you now? Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
It's good for, it stops you getting Alzheimer's, according to some experts.
I'm in, Dennis. I'll have a lovely buttery bath.
Right. Well, never mind. Anyway,
now, wait, Dennis, are you still watching 50 Shades of Grey? Are you just sat in front of the telly flicking away?
No, I've come up here to make sure you haven't got Alzheimer's because I want me to quit at the end of the month.
Good lad, thank you very much indeed.
Starving.
Julie, who's helping with marketing, said, it's an excellent idea and has legs as a business model. It's so fast and we just need to get people to realise its potential. Flipping it, mate. Oh. 15 grand. It ain't gonna happen.
Gosh. They could have spent that 15 grand on so many other wonderful things.
I was on a train to Oxford yesterday, or as I like to call it, Coxford.
Why would you like to call it that?
Because...
Bit rude.
Because it's a little bit rude, a little bit naughty, and that's what I like to get up to when I'm there. But, and I was going from Slough to Coxford. And it was the train, I imagine, went from Paddington, I'm guessing, up to Manchester. I don't really know. I don't look at... I'm not really interested in the bracket of the journey. I'm interested in what's in between those brackets, my part of the journey. But it was only a short journey. It was about 45 minutes. And, it wasn't like the Orient Express or anything. It was just a train. It was a normal train.
You astound me.
Yeah, I sat on it. It was nice, right? But then this woman came through with the trolley, the food trolley. Hey, what, cup of tea? Hot chocolate? Snacks? And I'm thinking, this is insane, right? Because at most, London to Manchester, at most is 3 hours. Probably less than that. Right.
Yeah, take you that in the car.
So 2.5 hours, right? A, you can go 2.5 hours without eating or drinking. That's a fact. Yeah. That is a fact. And B, I brought a sandwich and an apple with me to have en route. Got them from Marx's. So they were classy and pricier than I would normally pay, but they were still affordable.
You've got to treat yourself now and again, haven't you?
Yeah, every now and then. If you don't treat yourself, who will? And, I just thought, why in the 21st century, it was like such a 70s thing to have the food trolley go on an aeroplane. If you're going like more than 6 hours, then yeah.
I like it on a plane because it's dead boring. So I like to, like, you know.
Well, on a 2 hour flight, you buy food.
I'd like to eat something, yeah, just to buy the time.
Now you mention it. Yeah, I know we're only up in the air for an hour and a half, but I'd love a tiny, really expensive tub of Pringles and a Twix and a crappy coffee.
Yeah.
For 20 quid.
You're on your holidays. You might as well treat yourself.
Oh, no. About take a sandwich on board. Always take a sandwich on board. Go to the Smiths at the airport, buy their sandwiches. Beautiful. Put them in the bag. Wallop.
Thanks for the advice. I've not been on a plane for ages.
Oh, 8-4. We were on a plane last year. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, but that wasn't a fun plane, was it? That wasn't holidays.
Well, it was...
That wasn't a, let's have a spritzer at 7 in the morning, we're
no,
on a holiday.
No, it wasn't. It was to Slovakia for hard work where we got paid a fortune. Mm. 0844-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You're more than welcome. Can you get me the Sun and the Mirror, please?
Yes, I can.
There's absolutely... The thing is, I'm expecting there to be nothing in the papers. There's certainly nothing in the Star today.
That feels like an empty seat.
There we go.
Let me see if there's another one.
Yeah, quite often people... This is one of the things... People take the pages out of the newspapers and it really winds me up. It might all be here. Let's have a little look in the Sun. Police Chief Loin of Duty. The Loin of Duty. Got my back to the periscopers. I do apologise. That's rude. There are not many callers tonight, and it's fine. It's fine. People don't want to call. I can dig that. You can call up on the Skype number. The Skype's up and running. If you want to give us a call, you're more than welcome. Loin of Duty. So the front page of the Sun is. I don't understand what this story is. It's in all the papers. Look.
Police chief. Triangle.
Police chief punched by superintendent over affair with top cop wife. None of those people look real, do they? They all look like characters from A League of Gentlemen.
I don't know why we need to know it.
And also, it's basically family torn apart. Hearts broken.
Professionals embarrassed.
Innocent hearts broken. Okay, front page. A high-ranking police officer punched his chief constable. Who's higher, chief constable or chief superintendent?
Chief superintendent. Oh, no, hang on. Chief constable's highest, isn't it?
Let's just take a break for a second. Yes, line one. Line one?
Dead.
There's your problem. Send that into Denny. Try again, line one. The system is pony. A high-ranking police officer punched his chief constable for having an affair with his wife, a tribunal heard yesterday. Chief Superintendent Jim Peacock. Jim Peacock? Oh, we got Jim Peacock there.
Oh, leave him alone. He's the wronged man.
Well, that's why she went with him, the other fella. Don't want to go with the Jim Peacock. Allegedly lashed out. Allegedly, guys. When he learned wife Carolyn, an assistant chief constable in the same force, was... Now, they've put in quotes here, so I can say it. Shagging.
What? They put that in quotes?
Shagging.
Wow.
Boss Mike Crack.
What? He's not called that.
Yep.
No.
Details emerged yesterday after an alleged 9-year cover-up. Well, you would...
Or people trying to keep it private.
You would cover it up. Oh, can I play you a brilliant clip of David Cameron?
Go on.
I saw this on Facebook, and it did half make me laugh. It was on from the Independent website. If I can see if I can find it, because someone... listen to this. This is brilliant, right? This is in... this is from Channel 4 News. Why can't we hear... Hang on a second. Pause. Pump up the volume, pump up the volume, pump up the volume. Hit it. So this is in the House of Commons, is that...
I will take it that the House Secretary simply doesn't want to come to this House.
No, that's the wrong one. That's the wrong one. Pump up the volume, pump up the volume. Who did that? Mars.
Yeah.
But Mars stood for something, didn't it?
Yeah.
Pump up the volume.
Or did it? It was just M-A-R-S. It might not have stood for anything.
No, there was an extra R in there, wasn't there?
Yeah, there's an
Mars.
Extra R. Mars. You know, about Mars.
Mars.
Where is it? Let me... Oh, it's on my aunt's page. It's one of those. Oh, there's a call. Let's go. Yes, line one.
Yeah, hello, mate. Yes, forgive me if I misheard you. Were you saying you were potentially excited at your holiday cover?
It's not my holiday cover. Someone else's holiday cover. Yes, I'm not giving any more clues away.
Whose holiday cover is it?
I don't know.
No clues.
Oh. Ian.
Yeah.
Is it Tommy Boyd?
No. Don't be so ridiculous, for crying out loud. That would be a ridiculous suggestion. Where's this brilliant clip? Oh, flipping it. Where's she taking it down? Oh, dear. My aunt did half post some rubbish on her Facebook page, it turns out. Here we go. Do you want to hear David Cameron getting destroyed
Is
about
this real?
Sats? Yeah, getting destroyed about...
For the benefit of the House and for 10 and 11-year-olds up and down the country...
Boom.
Will the Prime Minister explain what the past progressive tense is? Will he differentiate between a subordinating conjunctive and a coordinating conjunctive? And finally, will he set out his definition, please, of a modal verb?
I have to say to the Honourable Lady, the whole point of these changes...
Listen to his smug... Pig sex answer.
The whole point of these changes is to make sure our children are better educated than we are.
You smug git. Isn't that horrible? You agree with that?
I kind of agree with him.
Oh, no. He says it in such a smug way.
We've not been taught it. That doesn't mean the kids shouldn't be.
No. But six...
Oh, hang on. Someone's ringing.
Oh, quick. Go and get the food. But six-year-olds. I mean, come on, guys.
That was him basically saying, oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. That was exactly what it was. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you're more than welcome. Forget it. Well, you have it if you want it, but I'm going home. Told you guys. And they say another 20 minutes. It won't be 20 minutes. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. There's Andrea Bocelli, who turns out is blind. Technically, in as much as he can't see. And I never knew that. There's nothing in the papers, and the papers can't do anything. Fred and Rose West, oh, dearie, dearie me. Nudists. There was bumshine. They've actually used the word bumshine. There was bumshine at the beach yesterday, as nudists made the most of the hot weather. Well, if you go to... They sound surprised that they're seeing nudity. It's a nudist beach. Of course you're going to see nudity. a middle-aged man had a stroll in nothing but a cap. Well, yeah, it's a nudist beach. And a couple bared their behinds in Treen, Cornwall. One of those people isn't nude. I would demand a refund. She's got pants and a bra on. The cheeky displays. Bumshine, they've used the word bumshine.
They haven't.
Yeah, bumshine. The cheeky displays are set to continue with experts predicted. But I don't. But how is that story? So it's nice weather and we've got some pictures of some nudie people on a nudist beach.
They're set to continue. Yeah, because it's a nudist beach. They're probably doing it last week as well when it was freezing. 10 minutes, he reckons.
It won't be 10 minutes.
Well, I said if it's longer than that, we can't do it. Bumshine.
Dearie me.
The wild man of late night radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
There's... here we go. Yes, line one?
Yes, Ian. It's Andrew from Albuquerque. How are you?
OK, thank you, Andrew.
Good to talk to you again. I just wanted to bring up a subject you brought up, I think, on Monday night about court doing things I shouldn't be doing.
Oh, yes.
I was about 15 years old. That's when I used to live in the UK. Yeah. And my parents had gone out and I'd found a German slightly dodgy VHS tape.
A lot of those German tapes were in the 80s, yes.
Yeah, it was hidden under their bed.
Yeah.
So I thought I might slip it into the machine, the tape that is.
Well, not your penis. And,
No, I wouldn't do that.
No.
I considered it.
Yeah. Well, when you're a teenage boy, you'll consider putting it anywhere. Trust me.
And anyway, I put it in there and, you know, it's pretty hardcore sort of material, let me put it that way. Yes. And... you know, was enjoying watching the images on the screen.
Yes. Gosh,
and then all of a sudden,
yes,
everything paused, you know, and there's a huge jam in the VHS machine.
Uh-oh.
So I didn't know when they were going to be coming back to the house.
Yeah.
So I, went over to, you know, raised my trousers up, did them up.
Yes,
and
thank you for that, yes.
Tried to prise the tape out of the machine.
Yes.
And, couldn't get it out, so to speak.
Again, not the
penis. But, so I was, started using a screwdriver, prising it in there, trying to get the machine out of the, get the tape out of the machine.
Yeah.
And, no luck. So I was panicking, sweating profusely at this point, and tried to start unscrewing the VHS machine.
I've done exactly the same thing with a porno stuck in a video machine. We had this, and it got stuck in there, and I had to unscrew the top of the video and take the whole video apart to get it out. Flipping heck, go on, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you.
So I started unscrewing it. It's still stuck in there so badly. I couldn't find the, it was. In the end, I had to get some scissors, cut the tape, pull it, which had released the, tape that was stuck in there.
Yeah.
And, got it out, through the old tape in the back of one of my cupboards upstairs. And, put the whole thing back together again. And, when they came back and, wanted to watch an old episode of Neighbours, everything wasn't working, so you had to call out the guy to see what was going on, and he said, "Yes, so there's a piece of tape stuck in here in the machine.
Uh-oh.
How this happened, but it's stuck in the machine here, so this is why."
Did your mum and dad discover you've been watching their German pornography?
They questioned me about it, and
you lied.
Yes. I didn't tell them that I found the tape under the bed.
No,
because I don't want to delve into their, private lives, so to speak.
Yes,
but I think they had certainly an inkling that what had happened.
Did it change your opinion of your mum and dad?
Yes, a little bit, and I found other objects sort of years later.
Oh. Yeah, okay, I think I really don't want to imagine anything being inserted inside your mother.
Sweet.
Fair play. He sold the story, though, didn't he? He sold it well. 0844 499 1000 is the nothing in the sun. What's going on with the? You know that's. I don't buy that picture of that car. The £70,000.
Oh,
car.
You know it was.
It's a PR thing.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a stunt
for a book, apparently.
Oh God, books. When will that nonsense stop? When will that nonsense stop?
Yeah, blimey.
There's literally nothing of any interest whatsoever in the papers. When the doctor offered me the HIV kidney, I told her, sometimes you've got to take a risk in life.
What?
So I'll go for it. Oh. I don't know. It's that. Oh. Stopped suddenly, didn't it? Let me try this. Hang on a second. This may not work. That's the show. The show's over in my head. You know, it's 25 minutes to go. It's fine. Isn't it? Just kind of potter along. This person called up earlier on. I didn't get the call. Let's see if they want to come on the air. Why is the fact that Joan Collins and Susanna Reid wore slightly similar dresses? Why is that a news story?
Because they're a bit light on news, I think. Gone to bed.
Yeah, they've gone to bed, haven't they?
Hi, sorry I can't take your call right now, but if you leave your name and message, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you.
I've got a dirty... Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hi, my name is Quincy. I'm a little frisky. I like to cut up bodies,
then have sex.
On my yacht you'll find me with a lady laid beside me. Is she dead? I'll check her leg. Yeah, my name is Quincy, yes. I'm a little frisky.
Down,
I eat at the same restaurant every night. Has my girlfriend stopped getting older? I tell you what, I'll check her shoulder. She's awake. Gonna take her on my boat, gonna show her my snake.
Thank you very much. It's good. Who was the name of the guy that wrote that? Again, it's another old one, and it all ties in with the opening titles of Quincy. And I cannot, for the life of me, remember the name of the guy that wrote it. And he's a really funny bloke. He was doing stand up. Don't know if he's still doing stand up. Let's have a quick break.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
The show's kind of over. You know, we're both very, very tired, and the callers are kind of don't want to play. And that's all fine. Have we got anyone on the show tomorrow?
No, but we could always crack you know who out, yeah.
Roger McGuinn from The Birds will be on the show tomorrow. We pre-recorded it, and we'll have him on tomorrow. That'll be good. That's a nice little interview that we had. Who's in the... Is Adam Buxton in the podcast tonight?
Yes.
Beautiful.
He is the podcast tonight. I just thought, let's
stuff.
Just put him in.
If you want to download the podcast, iTunes, Podbean, all of those places, go and type in Ian Lee, Talk Radio, it pops up, and spread the word, please, guys. So, to prove there is... if you want to call for the last 15 minutes, you can. 0844 499 1000. You don't have to if you don't want to. There's no pressure, man. To prove... Oh, here comes the food. To prove what a slow news day it is, the Daily Mirror... Here comes food. Show's over, guys. I'm going to put him close to the edge by yes. That would take us right up to the top of the hour, and then wallop. The Sun... The Sun, The Mirror, have on page 8 got their thing where they just, they run out of news, so they just Google stuff and look up stuff online and fill a page. Oh, yes, line one. No, not happening. No, there we go. Add that to the list. Try again, line one. We've got little, you know, still a few teething problems. So this is all about mistakes. I don't quite know what the story is. Oh, the story is when a fisherman found her in the water, he was convinced she was an angel who'd fallen from heaven into the sea. It wasn't. She's a blow-up sex doll. His mother... He rescued her... Hang on a minute. This is nuts, this story. Her discovery the day after a solar eclipse, her pale skin, perfect features and wide eyes convinced superstitious fisherman Pardin that she was not of this world. He was sure the heavenly body had been sent as a blessing to his Indonesian home. What a nice man. When he took the angel back to the remote village of Kalupapi on Sulawesi, I want to go there. That's where I want to be right now. News spread like wildfire. His mother dressed her in fresh clothes and a new hijab to wear every day. Excited villagers even took her on a boat trip, giving her pride of place on their vessel. But then local police decided to investigate amid fears that the furore surrounding the village's new resident could lead to unrest. Yes, line one?
Hello, Ian. I was of two minds whether to call you, because to be honest, I just wanted to discuss you, and I think a lot of callers want to discuss you recently. Do you get what I mean?
Well, what do you want to say?
I just wanted to discuss what your influences were in your radio style, because honestly, you're the reason I listen to radio.
Well,
as a kid, we'd drive from...
Go on. No, you go on.
Yeah, as a kid, we'd drive home from Grandma and Grandad's from Crowborough to London, and Mum would always put on LBC.
Wow.
And she'd tell me, listen to this, guy's really, really funny, and you were. So this is the reason I listen to radio. So I just wondered, well, what made him this funny and entertaining a radio host? Like, what are your influences? I thought maybe it would be the best time to call now. So on a wind down, and maybe we could just talk about your influences and
Clive Bull, Tommy Boyd, and Danny Baker. Those are the main ones.
I know one of them. Clive Bull, obviously, from LBC. So the other two, are these people, are these hosts from your childhood, or what?
No, well, Tommy Boyd was sort of big in the 90s. Goodness knows where he is now. But he kind of did, was doing calls straight to air and used to call it the Human Zoo. Go on YouTube. Go on YouTube and type in Tommy Boyd and Pilot, I think, will bring up a good one. He's good.
Yeah. This is from the 90s.
From the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, will do. Well, that's all I really wanted to say.
Oh, nice one, man.
Cool with that.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, man. I'm glad you like the show. Go on, Tommy Boyd, honestly, you'll love it. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. You're very, very kind. Oh, wait, 444-499-1000. So, apologies, that listener. I was on guard there so slightly because I just detected a slightly sarcastic tone in the voice. But it turns out he was being genuine. Enjoy your meal. I'm doing a radio show. No, I can't. I'm doing this. So, apologies. I'm tired. And I'm second-guessing everyone. It didn't take long for the officers to figure out that the heavenly angel was actually an inflatable plastic sex doll. Oh, this poor bugger. This poor bloke. Probably the property of... Go and have your food. Go and have your food, because I'm not sticking around. Go. Go and have it. Seriously, go and have it. An inflatable sex doll, probably the property of a lonely sailor which had fallen off a passing ship. Has anyone... And I can ask... I'm going to ask this question. Has anyone ever actually used one of those horrible plastic sex dolls for sex? Right. I've seen them. I've touched one. I've used one as a prop in a television show. And they get hoiked around at stag do's and things. But has anyone ever actually blown up one of those dolls and had sex with it? Because I don't know how it would work. I don't want to get too graphic here, but I don't know how it would actually work. And also, that moment that you finish, right? You know that moment after sex or masturbation or whatever, you have a moment of clarity and you're like, oh no, what have I done? You'd just be looking down at that and thinking, can my life sink any lower? You do, there's that moment after sometimes, oh, but maybe it's only a boys thing when you just think, oh no, what have I done? What have I done? Well, that's a shame. I feel sorry for that whole village. Yes, line one. Turn it up a bit. Okay, it's a little bit quiet, but thank you. I suspect we're on speakerphone. Tears in the Morning by Bruce Johnston on the Beach Boys album Sunflower. The B-side to... is it the B-side to It's About Time? Or wasn't that a B-side? I don't remember. Anyway, here are some other crazy mistakes. Devon schoolgirl... No, this is a good one. I like this one. Devon schoolgirl Claire McDonald was receiving 11 emails a week. Oh, hang on a second. Yes, line one.
Hi there, Ian.
Hello, mate. What you got?
Hi there. I'm glad I'm not the only one that has that sense of regret after, you know, doing that thing that you just mentioned about a minute ago.
After masturbation?
Yeah, that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there is a real sense of emptiness. Not every time, you know, something, but it's a real emptiness. And what have I done?
Well, I don't really, like, envision the death march in my head, but it's more like a sort of a wah, 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 wah.
That's the perfect post-masturbation sound. And it's when you've got to take off the dog collar and the gloves and the women's underwear that you really realise you've sunk. No, you're right. It is. Do you know what? Now, I will never be able to do that again without the second after hit. Wah, wah, wah.
It's sort of fitting as well that this is, like, near the end of the show. I think that's a good noise for the end of this particular episode of your show.
I think it is. Well, go and enjoy yourself. Not in that way. It's funny, isn't it? Masturbation is funny. Because, I was going to say we all have done it. We all do it. It's done a lot. All of us, maybe there are exceptions. But I would say most people, over 50% of people do it. It's never talked about, is it? It's never talked about. And you think of all the people on telly, right? And they must have done it at least once in their lives. You know, Piers Morgan must have done it. I mean, it's more common for blokes than women, isn't it? Is that coming from a point of white male privilege that I'm saying that? I know women do. It's more common for blokes, isn't it? Really. I suspect. Prove me wrong. Go on, prove me wrong. 08444991000. And I don't want to get graphic about it or into the details, but John Ketley. John Virgo. All the Johns. All the Johns will have done it at some point. Let me try and think of who else might have done it. Oh, the Dimblebees. The Dimblebees will probably have at some point. But, you know, the Attenboroughs, all the brothers. It's weird, isn't it? Anyway. Devon schoolgirl Claire McDonald was receiving 11 emails a week containing top secret information from the Pentagon, no less. Top secret information from the Pentagon. Did I just miss a call? No. After being accidentally added to a round-robin recipient list by a US Navy commander, OneNote offered advice to the UK on how to prevent secrets from being leaked. Boom! Claire, 15, and her mum, Sharon, 37, alerted the Navy in December 2000 after the messages had started to arrive, but her warning was ignored. The emails had been meant for a Navy commander who was an IT specialist at the Ministry of Defence in London. It's a shame, isn't it? In the old days of phones, and if you're under 30, you won't ever have experienced this, the crossed line. You used to get it a lot in the 70s where you would pick up the phone and you could sometimes hear another phone call, or you'd make a phone call and you'd hear other people talking in the background. It was brilliant, a lot of fun. Used to love a cross line. Because we didn't have TV 24 hours a day, TV would go off in the afternoon. Imagine that, they'd stop TV in the afternoon and we only had three channels. If there was a cross line, your mum would go, "Hey, everyone, come and listen. Look, there's a cross line. Listen to this." And you'd just hear another couple having a really boring conversation. Have a listen to this. You don't get crossed emails, do you? Which is a shame, because I think that would be quite good fun.
There is that moment where you've sent an email to
The sending the email to the wrong person, but you never kind of find yourself in the middle of a conversation. On Twitter, you kind of do, actually. You find yourself in the middle of a conversation with people. And the number of times I said, "Can you guys keep me out of this, please?" And I don't want to come across as you know, as arrogant or whatever, but I get caught in the crossfire of so many dull conversations that I can't be bothered. Brighton Pavilion, here we go. We all like to hear racists being caught out for being the idiots that we know they are, particularly the English Defence League. What a delightful bunch of people they are. Brighton Pavilion is one of the jewels in the seaside resort's crown. It's weird, Brighton Pavilion, isn't it? If you ever drive in, it's this strange kind of, well, pavilion. With its turrets and Far Eastern influences, it was built as a pleasure palace for King George IV, and is instantly recognisable to most, but apparently not to the English Defence League, those crazy guys, whose followers tweeted about the building in 2013 thinking it was a mosque. Well done, guys. Great work, racists. Here we go. This is it. Yes, line one.
Yes, what age will be Radio 4's Jimmy Doherty tomorrow morning as we look at the polls and discover that only 17% of people in the United Kingdom believe there ever was a Liberace. We'll also be asking for your extra time and your kiss. We'll also be talking to the world's greatest marksman as he comes in and gives me hints and tips on my own technique. And we'll also look at his autobiography, Stand Back, Here I Come. It's Mr. Ron Jeremy. So join me, Radio 4, Stephen Doherty, tomorrow morning.
Thank you very much indeed. Well done, guys. Well done. You're learning. Yes, line two.
Line two, Ian. Wagwan, it's Rashid.
Wagwan, Rashid, you've been quiet recently. Everything all right, brother?
Everything's all right, man. Don't try and cut me off because I know you want to eat your gel Frazee.
I'm being very professional. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go home. I'm knackered.
The last caller, he put me off. He put me straight off my shish kebab.
Oh, yeah, I know.
To be honest,
yes, these things happen, Rashid. These things happen.
He put me straight off my shish kebab, I tell you. Anyway, I've got one burning question.
Yeah, go on.
I wanted to ask you. Why haven't you wore deodorant since Friday?
Just because I ran out I ran out on Thursday, and I keep forgetting to buy it. And I keep thinking, right, I'm out. I must pop into a shop and buy some deodorant. And I keep forgetting to do it, Rashid.
Are you wet and sweaty now?
No, I'm actually. Do you know what? I'm all right. I don't think I need it. Yes, line one. Oh, turn it up a bit. It's a bit quiet. You need to be louder. And don't be on speakerphone. Speakerphone is a nightmare for that kind of thing. And it needs to be louder. Teenage burglars thought they had hit the jackpot when they broke into a house in Miami. Waldo Soroa, 19. Metrix Andalus. You're having a laugh. Why is my periscope stopped? Oh, it don't matter. It don't matter. Because my storage is almost full. And Jose David Diaz Marrero, 19, and two juveniles thought they had stumbled across a stash of cocaine. Beautiful, beautiful. They celebrated by snorting some of their find, which in fact turned out to be the ashes of the homeowner's father and two Great Danes. Boom, shakalak! In your face, literally in your face, in your nose, in your face. Now, my memory is full on my iPhone, and that creates a lot of problems because it's all photos. I'm going to have to download them onto the computer and then delete them from the phone. Oh, dear. Well, that's tomorrow sorted out, guys. That's exactly what I'm doing. I shall be downloading photos onto a computer and deleting them. Oh, but let's take this last call, probably the last call of the night. Yes, line one.
Hold on.
Okay, I'm holding on. We've got 30 seconds of the show left.
Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Talk Radio, give it some lift.